It's Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control. And 603-283-6160 is the phone number. That's 603-283-6160. And with you on Free Talk Live tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Lori.
And Chris.
And it is a call-in talk radio show. That's why we give out the number. It's 603-283-6160 at the beginning of the show. And we do already have a caller, so let's just get right into it. We have Gigi from South Carolina on the phone. Gigi, what's on your mind?
Good evening, Lori, Miss Bonnie, and Christopher. Hi, everybody listening out there. I have two things I would like to say, and I will preface it once again. They are just my personal opinions. People listening, as well as all three hosts, are free to disagree with me. Hold on, please. Pardon me for coughing in everyone's ear. Number one, I have a big problem with the Biden administration not speaking verbally, publicly about the American hostages being held somewhere in Gaza, if they are all in Gaza. I haven't heard one damn thing, and I don't understand why nothing publicly is being said, not just Israelis are being held hostage. Secondly, I have a big problem, and I am no lover of President Donald J. Trump. However, because I do believe strongly in constitutional issues, I feel very strongly that this African-American district attorney female that the Georgia appellate court is currently reviewing, should she be removed from prosecuting him? I feel yes, because she should have known better professionally and personally than to have a sexual liaison with someone involved in the case.
Well,
don't sleep with somebody that you're working with or could be a conflict of interest. That's just this lady's opinion.
Was she a judge? Sorry, I missed if you said she was a judge or a prosecutor.
No, she is the district attorney, an African-American female, very attractive, very articulate, very well-educated. But that don't matter. Sleep with someone who ain't involved in the case. Conflict of interest is a serious issue.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It don't look good.
It doesn't look good. It doesn't sound fair. I'm not even sure which
exactly.
Trump.
Exactly. You hit the word on the spot, Bonnie. Mm-hmm. It doesn't look fair, impartial, objective. You hit it on. That's correct.
And the first thing you brought up, you said that right now the world is talking all about the Israeli hostages, but not.
No, they're not.
Oh, opposite.
The world is talking about Israel invading on the ground and with airstrikes further south in the city of Rafah,
yeah,
in the south area, the southern part of Gaza. However, there are still many American citizens that are being held hostage, that were taken hostage back on October 7 by Hamas. I haven't heard Blinken or Sullivan or President Biden or anybody in his military advisory staff saying anything about American hostages. All I hear is we're going to withhold weapons and military supplies and ammunition and technology for military purposes, for offensive purposes, but we will be there whole support. Wholeheartedly, we won't abandon Israel for defensive purposes.
Right.
I want to hear about my fellow countrymen that are being held hostage. I want to hear somebody from my government say something. I am grossly outraged.
Well, you shouldn't call a talk show then, because Bonnie, are you with the government?
Live.
Oh, yeah. Well, she does he likes to get, like, her opinions out. Maybe more people will hear about
and
it.
And I understand
opinion,
that. I'm
Chris,
just joking.
But I love Free Talk Live because the premise is and continues to be, people are free to express his or her opinion. I love that about this program.
Well, would there be any chance you would maybe write a letter to someone? Well, the thing is, like, I would say that, but then again, do I think that they will listen to you?
Of course not.
I just don't think politicians listen to people writing them letters, honestly.
I agree, but I did what you asked. I've done it on the federal level and the state level.
Excellent.
However, who listens, right? Who reads?
Yeah, this is particularly tough because if you want to hear people in the U.S. government say all the things you just said you wanted to say, you just have to go back to like October 10th because everybody was talking about anything for Israel. Absolutely anything they need, we have an obligation to give it to them. The problem is that as this has gone on and the death toll in and Palestinians, I believe they're
increasing.
What's that?
It just keeps increasing.
It does. And that's something
and
that has
vulgar,
an equal number of people
wrong.
Upset. Yeah, it is. It is upsetting.
But
and
I
it's
care
wrong.
About the American hostages. I don't hear a goddamn thing being publicly said.
Yeah, I didn't even know.
About my people.
Oh, there. That's
I didn't even know that there was American
hostages.
Yeah,
I was aware of that.
I didn't know.
Yeah, I didn't know there was American
people. Well, it was interesting
either.
Because today on MSNBC, Andrea Mitchell has a two-hour news program Monday through Friday. I happened to be watching it. She interviewed three sets of parents. All three sets are American. And they all said, my son, my daughter, nobody in the government is saying anything about the American hostages.
Right.
But they were sure, quick to say, we're going to withdraw, we're going to withhold temporarily this for Israel, that for Israel. We're not going to send the ship with the munitions. We're not going to do this. We're not going to do that. And all six of the parents right there on Skype, on Andrea Mitchell's program on MSNBC today, you could see in their faces, you could hear in their voices, your heart breaks for them.
So are we talking about six hostages? I don't have the facts on this whole story, but
I don't know how many American hostages
less than 10
are being currently held. I don't care about the number.
Yeah, I know.
I care that I don't hear my government saying anything publicly. That's what I care about.
Do you care about 34,000? Is that a number that does anything for you?
34,000 Palestinian civilians that have been maimed, murdered, starved, withheld medical assistance? Yes, as equally significant.
I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you for the call, Gigi. I appreciate Gigi's ranting about things and that she even goes to put her pen to paper.
You're doing something.
Yeah,
I
actually,
do
doesn't go to you. Sometimes Sarah will call about something she's mad about, but it's like it's an Albuquerque, New Mexico specific thing, and she didn't
and it's like
do anything
a bus
else.
Stop.
Yeah, so it's it's much better that Gigi also took another route instead of just calling the radio show. But also, I love that Gigi always brings up that she loves Free Talk Live because she likes to exercise her First Amendment rights. I don't have to think about that for a second.
One of those.
So I just, the thing about it is I didn't know that there were Americans held hostage. I thought that all the hostages being held by Hamas were already released,
Israeli.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I thought they were all
there
Israeli.
There are a lot of Israeli hostages, but there's got U.S. hostages. There's, I'm sure, hostages from other countries that were just caught up in the whole thing. And
it's a terrible thing to do.
Regardless of nationality.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, regardless of where they're from, the fact that there's any hostages at all is what the problem is.
Yeah. And it's like both of these gangs, the Israeli government and the Hamas group, are pretty gross and doing terrible things. And I would just like to not fund it. I would just really like to not have to fund it.
And I will, you know, I'm a bit of a conspiracy theorist. I do believe at some level, you know, Iran is behind a lot of this because Hamas is a puppet of Iran. And I think it was brilliantly played. I mean, if you wanted to draw Israel into looking horribly. All you have to do is, you know, maybe kill 1,000 Israelis, and they're going to do the work. They're going to make everyone despise Israel for you. You don't have to do anything else. They're going to take things completely out of scale, and, you know, 1,200 Israelis passed away, and I'm sorry about that. But the response so far has been 34,000 Israelis, Palestinians.
Somebody made the point that they said, if I came and killed your family members, you would be totally justified in killing me. But would you be justified in killing me and like 30 of my neighbors who happen to live next door to me?
Right.
No.
Or more to the point. Yeah. Like the whole city.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's out of scale, and it's a shame. And these things happen, and they flare up between states. They don't flare up between individuals.
Yeah.
If we have if I have a beef with anybody in this room, I'm going to talk about it, but I'm not going to pull out a gun and start blasting and then go after your families, your neighbors, and everybody else.
Yeah.
That's what governments do.
That's not self-defense.
Right.
People keep talking about, doesn't Israel have the right to self-defense? And they don't know what self-defense means. It means stopping an attack against you or your property or someone you love that you're defending.
Right, that's retaliation is what they're talking about.
Exactly, yeah. They're talking about vengeance.
Doesn't Israel have the right to retaliation and vengeance?
Exactly, it doesn't have the same ring to it, does it?
No. So this from yahoonews.com, or I guess it's like Yahoo brings all these things together, but it's from the Los Angeles Times. So,
exactly,
sorry.
Somebody in their aggregator.
It says, opinion, how robots making your burgers and fries can lead to greater income inequality.
No.
And I don't believe that title. I haven't even read the article, but I just wanted to see what silliness they bring up here. They said on April 1st, more than 500,000 fast food workers in California got a raise, with minimum wage across the sector bumped up to $20 per hour.
Because that's realistic.
Where? California?
Yeah.
It's $20 an hour for the minimum wage to flip burgers?
Flip burgers, yep. Yeah.
To like stand at the Walmart store and be like, can I see your receipt?
You don't even get
$20.
Yep.
You don't even need a PhD in burger flipping. You just need to be able to flip the burger.
Wow.
$20.
Okay. Yeah, it's asinine.
It says that same week, the self-proclaimed world's first fully autonomous restaurant opened its doors. Wow. In
Surprise.
Pasadena. What a funny coincidence.
We didn't see that happening. I thought they'd just take that $20 and, you know, we're going to require. The thing that I hate about it is it increases the cost across the board. Mm-hmm. The business pays it. The business is not going to be able to be profitable. The consumers pay it in so many ways. The cost of their meal is going to go up, and their cost of their choice. I mean, they're not going to be new fast food restaurants springing up in California.
Hmm.
That's just not going to happen. Well, and
the employees pay it because most of them aren't going to have a job anymore.
Right.
They're going to replace them, or they're not going to replace them and just make the people who work there cover more of the work.
No, they're going to get robots.
Or get robots.
Yeah.
But until the robots come, the people who work there are going to have to shoulder the load of three or four jobs because they're not going to employ more people for $20 an hour.
Hmm.
And it's interesting. I don't know what the average fast food worker made before this, because that is an expensive economy anyway. And I know just here in Keene, in New Hampshire, we have no state minimum wage, so we fall under the federal $7.25 per hour. I know that I could never hire anyone in my business for $7.25 an hour.
Yeah.
Even though I own the business, therefore I make less than $7.25 an hour. But
hiring like a college kid without a degree, high schooler even,
and
probably can't.
There were so many college kids we talked to interviewing that, you know, they're like, what do you pay? I'm like, well, it's going to be in the neighborhood of, say, $12 an hour. They're like, I don't know about that.
Wow. When I was looking for jobs in 2018, $12 an hour was like, wow, that would be great. Like, I applied for a hotel job. I had worked 3+ years in hotel, like front desk, checking people in stuff, not like housekeeping. And I was like, oh, I'll just go get a job when I moved to Texas. So I did that in Utah, moved to Texas. They were paying $9 an hour. And I just like, it was so hard to get any job at all. But the same job that was getting like $13 an hour on a military base because it was like remote and stuff like that.
Right.
Was paying $9 an hour in everywhere in San Antonio. And it was just like, I wasn't even getting past the interviews when I knew exactly how to do these stupid jobs.
Right.
And it's just so much has happened since COVID. So that was 2018.
I've worked in a convenience store and it's ridiculously easy. It's a very easy job. It's
I can do it.
No, yeah, I think anyone could probably, but nobody needs.
You'd be surprised by
you know $20 an hour to do that job.
Yeah,
the amount of laziness some people.
Well, and that's where
that's true.
Skill doesn't really come into it, but in this case, I mean, I have to pay $12 an hour because otherwise I cannot attract people.
Right.
When you have fast food restaurants down the street paying $15-$18 an hour. Now, this isn't California, but it's insane that those kinds of jobs do demand those kinds of wages just because nobody will do them.
Nobody wants to work at all, so if they could sit at home and make even like $10 an hour, they don't want to go work for right. 11. It says that, the world's first fully autonomous restaurant, which is a funny word. It sounds like you control your own body. Restaurant, you control your own building. Autonomous restaurant. It opened its doors in Pasadena. These two stories have received considerable media attention, typically presented as fundamentally linked. Fast food franchise owners are struggling to stay afloat amid rising labor costs, leading many to consider automation as the only viable solution. But this simple depiction of cause and effect paints a picture of innovation and inevitability that sells the public on a fanciful myth. I really don't think he's right.
And if I'm not wrong, this would be a different story, but I believe California, I think it was California, is talking about some law to ban self-checkout.
Oh, wow.
They don't want to allow self-checkout. They want a human body there.
That's terrible.
Why, though? Like, why would you have to ban that? If the stores don't want self-checkout because of stealing or whatever, shouldn't that be a decision for the store?
And like, it should be. I agree.
Not someone ought to make a law.
But this is I'll characterize it as California think that, you know, if something's wrong, we need to pass laws to fix it.
Everyone must do it the way that I decide.
Exactly. And it's insane.
I could never live there.
I couldn't either.
I couldn't either just based on like the people. My brother is there for right now and he... he's doing some, he's in the Air Force, so he's doing some TDY, temporary duty thing in San Diego right now, and he's always sending pictures, looks really pretty, and I'm just like, I could never live amongst those leftist, automatons.
I'm sure there are Republicans in California. I mean, Ronald Reagan came from California. I'm sure.
A long time ago.
Yeah, and I'm sure all six of them get together occasionally, you know, and maybe they go to Denny's or something like that, I guess. I don't know.
That would be really sad if you even get together as Republicans in California. Honestly, I would be shocked if they must have like Republican meetings. Have you guys figured out that nothing is working? I don't know. It's kind of weird.
I think that's pretty much what they do. They just look at this and they shake their heads. And they've had times of never a majority in recent history, I don't think, but they've had some substantial numbers in the state house. California, we think of it as L.A., and it's much more than that. It's mostly rural. Nobody thinks about that. So you have a lot of representation, and as a result, the Democrats have been pushing to change rules, and they now have, you know, basically three people can run for any particular office. They can be the final three, and if the three highest vote-getters happen to be all Democrats, that's a legal thing. It's two or three. Somebody should call in and correct me on all this, but it's not a traditional two-person like Republican Democrat run. They have this weird majority thing where they can kind of stack the ballot, so you can't lose.
If they cut California in half, like right, make a horizontal line right above San Francisco and Sacramento, I would totally live in the North California.
Yeah, and a lot of it is, I mean, there's a ton of farmland. I mean, outside of Sacramento and stuff like that, it's pretty pretty just desolate. I mean, I love the state. I love to visit. Never would I live there.
Really?
Yeah.
I like desolate. That's kind of the thing. Well, I mean, I like people, but I like the West, just the way it looks and stuff. But it doesn't make sense to live there. Like I say, I would live there, as in I'd be more likely to live in this new North California state than I would in current California. But I'd rather stay in New Hampshire either way. But I was just saying, if I was ever going to move to California, it'd only be if it got cut in half like that. And San Francisco for sure was on the South California side.
See, most people make it a vertical line. Like you slice it top to bottom and then you just push San Francisco and LA
into the ocean.
Off. And there, you've done it. Actually, the San Andreas Fault could pretty much perform that exact same thing. So,
So like when all the the cities and stuff there, closer to the east of California, are
the
not
west
as bad. Oh,
the west, very west coast.
No, they're supposed to be really bad, right? Because that's where Los Angeles and
Worst so side. You would just leave the, you know, the farmers and loggers and stuff like that.
Yeah, and by bad I mean Democrats. I don't even like the amount of like Democratness liberals that I have to deal with in Keene, New Hampshire. Honestly, I really have been thinking recently that there's no one that's more rude and unfriendly and unwelcoming and just cold than liberal boomers. No offense.
And entitled.
I'm Chris.
Entitled.
Am I a liberal boomer?
Not that
I've
you're a liberal,
never
but
been
you're
called that.
I think a boomer. Are you?
Oh, God. By almost every definition, I am a baby boomer.
Boomer's a mindset. Boomer's a mindset.
Is it?
Yeah.
I keep telling myself that.
Yeah. Not an age range.
Yeah, I could be Gen X or I could be boomer depending on what
year
they call
it. I thought you told me before you were boomer.
No, I think I'm a boomer, but different people define it differently, and I'm like right on the cusp.
You're probably right on the cusp, and I'm right on the cusp of millennial and Gen Z, so I understand not wanting to like claim either one because those things don't really make a whole lot of sense. But still, I think that liberal boomers are some of the worst, most mean people. 603-283-6160. What do you think about that? 603-283-6160. More Free Talk Live coming up.
This hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. In addition to being one of the world's first cryptocurrencies, Dash was the first crypto project to have a decentralized autonomous organization that to this day continues to improve and promote Dash. Every month, 10% of the mining rewards go into a treasury. Anyone with one Dash to spend can put forward a proposal to the Dash Masternodes. The Masternodes vet the proposals and decide which ones move forward and are funded by that treasury. Nowadays, DAOs are plentiful, but Dash paved the way by doing it first, nearly a decade ago. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol, and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. Dash.org.
Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number here. That's 603-283-6160, and Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash, Digital Cash. In addition to being one of the world's first cryptocurrencies, Dash was the first crypto project with a decentralized autonomous organization that to this day continues to improve and promote Dash. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month for this sponsorship. It's easy to get and use Dash. You can learn more at Dash.org. That's Dash.org. And with you on Free Talk Live tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Lori,
and Chris.
And in the last segment, we were talking about this story where this man from apparently California, well, I assume if you write on the Los Angeles Times, you probably live there. He says it is his opinion that robots making your burgers and fries will lead to greater income inequality. I just don't believe it. I just really don't.
Well, it will. It'll lead to, like, for example, a worker in a fast food restaurant that hasn't yet, I say yet, implemented robots will make the $20 an hour that they're saying is exactly what they should be paid. And as all of these people are replaced by robots, their income will go to zero.
Hmm.
That is an inequality.
Yeah, but then
a dramatic
get a,
one.
A different job, right?
Yes.
Like repairing the robots or something.
They will, but pretty soon the state of California will require the people who repair or let's just say just clean the robots.
Mm-hmm.
They have to polish the robots. Those people need to make $75 an hour.
And need to have gone to a school for 4 years.
No. They'll say anybody can do this job.
Hmm.
But because you have no skill, you deserve $75 an hour. That's going to be the logic.
Well, but then they'll just make robot polishing robots.
They will.
Yeah.
But somebody has to polish the robot polisher.
It's just robots. Yeah, robots it's all the way down.
All the way down.
Yeah.
It says that there were these two stories that came out at once there in California that fast food workers got a raise by the fact that the minimum wage across the sector, so I don't know why it just says fast food workers, but minimum wage went up to $20 per hour in California. And the same week that that happened, the self-proclaimed world's first fully autonomous restaurant opened up its doors in Pasadena, California.
Yeah.
So this guy is saying that people keep bringing these two things up like they're related. But in reality, in his mind, this simple depiction of cause and effect paints a picture of innovation and inevitability that sells the public on a fanciful myth.
No, it's not a myth. Automation is designed to reduce, in most cases, designed to reduce labor costs. That's your goal. And if you make labor more expensive, entrepreneurs are going to come up with ways of getting around that through whatever means is necessary. And sorry.
That's exactly the point that the reason I brought this article in. I didn't even read it. I just knew he was going to be wrong because it's so obvious that robots obviously are going to come in every time you raise the minimum wage.
Also, the people who are like, oh, raise the minimum wage to $20 an hour don't understand anything about economics.
No.
If you raise the minimum wage to $20 an hour, then the person who runs the business needs to pay more people, and then they have less money, and so they need to raise their prices, and then the landlord's also going to raise. But like everything is going to go up so that your $20 is worth what your $7 was worth before.
Except
it doesn't make any...
Except half this money sense. Comes from the federal government, which prints money, which makes your money worth even less.
Oh, yes, it's worth even less.
Yeah, it's I don't like to be overly dramatic, but I kind of get the feeling that the U.S. is in a death spiral.
Yeah.
Is death spiral something that's okay to say on the air, Bonnie?
Yeah.
Okay.
I wasn't sure if something Gigi said was. I kind of like thought about it for too many seconds and I was like, it's too late to dump now what Gigi said. But
I think she used GD.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if you could say that.
I don't think.
You can definitely
I think you can.
Damn.
I would check check someone on that, but I'm pretty sure you can say.
Hmm.
Oh, well.
Well, I feel like you were making a point before I said that. Oh, yeah, you're about the United States being in a death spiral. I definitely think so. Sometimes I think about just like the absolute like, just ridiculousness and an annoyance I would face every single day being a like entry level worker. I didn't know what I wanted to do forever, so I wasn't gonna like just start doing something that I had to commit to for life.
Right,
and I almost did, and then COVID happened, and I didn't get to really go to college. Well, I started, but it was like online, and I quit. It was so weird. It was like I finally decided to go to college, and then suddenly like the whole world. Shut down. Like
right.
I was 24, so it was like a few years after I graduated high school, or like 5 years after I graduated high school. So it was just such. It was kind of good because like I didn't really want to go to school for IT and then go every day to an IT job, repairing, you know,
robots.
Yeah, or whatever I'd be doing. I didn't really want to do that, but that's what I finally chose because I was like, before that I was like, I'm just gonna like do whatever to get by and decide what I want to do. I'll figure out what I want to do. Never really did, but that whole time was so difficult. If I had a child, I'd just have to be on welfare. And I didn't have a child, so like that's good.
Don't say that, Bonnie.
I don't know what single moms who haven't already established themselves with like a good job do. Like, I don't know what they do other than be on welfare.
Well, we're talking about the world as it is now in this death spiral. I'm going to stick yeah. with it. I'm going to own it. I'm going to bring it back. I'm going to say death spiral every chance I get. but yeah, the problem is people are becoming hopeless and there aren't any real solutions. You know, for an unskilled single mother or a young adult, it's got to be very daunting. You know, when I was growing up, you could get a job. It probably would suck, but you sucked it up anyway. And mm-hmm. you knew that you would see something else down the line, either getting ahead or some other opportunity. And I don't get the feeling that those are really going to happen.
I think that one thing that helped people a long time ago was that there was more of a sense of community.
It's a great point.
Which there isn't anymore because all interaction is online and impersonal and nobody knows their neighbors. Nobody has like big friend networks anymore. They have, you know, just a few people that they know closely and then just people that they kind of know.
That they follow.
Yeah, that they follow or they like.
It's like.
Like more... their Facebook status and that's their whole interaction. Right.
More people are going into cities, and when I was a kid, this one move, because we moved all the time, because I was a military brat, from Tennessee, and it wasn't like a rural or the middle of nowhere or anything. It's Clarksville, Tennessee. It's like a town, like a large town. Knew everyone on our street, basically, except for, you know, a few houses of people that really kept to themselves. Mm-hmm. Like my friends, my parents were friends with their parents. And it just was, it like, that seemed normal to me. Then we moved to San Antonio, the suburbs just barely outside of San Antonio. And it was so just weird. Like, nobody wanted to talk to you. They just, like, get directly into their car and go away. And, like, no, and that's how that became normal to me. It just seems that, like, in the cities, at least, that's 100% how it is. Like, no one talks to each other. You only know each other if you, like, work together, go to church together, or have known each other since high school or something.
Right, but... And honestly, how many people meet people at church anymore? I mean, how many people still go to church? Mm-hmm. Those numbers
that's all
are
online
dwindling.
Too.
Right. Yeah. Or yeah, you log into your service.
That's one thing I said. This is like the end of the world or something in 2020 when the Republican Christians were like, yeah, we're shutting down the churches. What's wrong with you? Do you want to kill grandma? I was like, the world is turned on its head. Something crazy is going on. They let the government shut down the churches that they care so much about.
Grandma was probably going to die anyway.
Yeah.
Like all the people that...
It would
not
be
all
God's
people,
will, wouldn't it?
But a lot of the people that died were, you know, really old and like in bad health and were dying anyway. All it took was one flu or a cold or a fall down and that was it for them. A lot of people. Yeah. Not all of them, but I mean, that happens with other things too. You know, the flu kills people who are not... old and in hospice care all the time.
In huge numbers.
In huge numbers.
Every year.
There's no flu that year either. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Something had to do it.
Yeah, weird. Weird there was no flu. It just went away that year. It was like, oh, I don't like the competition.
Yeah.
I better go.
I can't deal with this guy, this new guy, Corona.
Yeah.
It seems like everyone that I knew that died, which is only like two people, they seemed to die of something else, and then they had COVID at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's what I'm saying is most of the people who died were dying mm-hmm. already.
Yeah. They all had comorbidities. And I don't doubt. So I do believe that Corona was a fairly significant respiratory illness.
Me too.
And if you were weakened or you had comorbidities, then you were in probably not in a real good spot for a tough, you know, respiratory illness. And I think, you know, those combination of our lifestyles and and something that was just enough to push people over the edge, it did it.
And it's something new. Any type of new virus, like if something comes out, some people are going to be more susceptible to it than others.
That's
true. Just how everything works. Some people are more susceptible to malaria. like things that already exist. It's how biology works, and it's kind of the person who is dying's responsibility to stop themselves from dying, and not everyone else's responsibility to change their entire life.
Right. And I think that it's crazy to put the weakest people just like in some kind of a cradle in society and stop things like people going to college. Right. And young people just living their lives like they should be doing. And then you're going to complain like 2 years later, like these young people are nowadays, they're not friendly. You ruined their normal socialization years.
Right. And they're going to get sick from everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they have no natural immunities. It's insanity.
Yeah. But I still stand by the fact that boomers are still the worst, except for Chris.
Is that just because I'm here? Are you picking on me? No. I mean, what?
No, that's actually why it is, and why I've been thinking about it a lot recently, is I had to park downtown Keene, not like in the circle, but like on one of the streets that come off. And I see these two old people walking on the sidewalk. I even thought, like, I'm going to slow down a lot while I pull into this parallel parking spot next to them because they're on the sidewalk. Like, I just want to be courteous.
Right.
And so I slow down like really slow and pull into this thing, but they are technically on the sidewalk next to me, not dangerously close at all. Just two old people walking there. And I'm like in a rush too. And I'm paying for my parking. And the old man like turns around as if he's like, that's it. I'm going to say it. And he's like, yelling at me. Like, if you park next to us while we're walking, you need to give a honk. Let us know you're there. Cause we sometimes step into the street. And I was just so... I was so shocked.
You sometimes step into the street.
All I said to him was, dude, stop talking to me, because I'm like thinking a million things. And I was so annoyed that he was being so rude to me. I said, dude, stop talking to me. And he was just like, no. And he was telling me that I was so rude for parking in a parking spot because he could have jumped into the street.
Yeah. How dare you not just know that people will just jump into the street?
They
it was
do.
Crazy.
They do jump into. Well, kids
well
just
I mean, if
hit.
They get hit by a car, that's kind of because they jumped into the street.
And he just wouldn't drop it. I was like just trying to just tell him, like, don't talk to me. Don't stop talking to me, please. And I'm like walking away and he's still yelling at me. And I was just like, dude, if you were being nice when you approached me, I would have probably listened to you. But you're being an a-hole. And he was just like, what did she say to his wife? And she said something like, well, she wasn't very nice.
Oh,
you guys
my.
Were so, like, I can't imagine thinking I'm in the right doing that. Like, running backwards to somebody just trying to pay their parking and yelling at them for the way that they parked because you could have ran in the road.
So I'm convinced. I try not to be crotchety. This guy sounds crotchety.
I'm convinced all of these angry older boomers are angry older boomers because they're all lead poisoned.
Whoa.
Oh, was it the paint chips and dip I had when
and
I was
drinking
young?
Out of the hose, the lead lined hoses?
Yeah, that was good too.
Yeah.
Could
How
be.
Long were they lead lined? Because I drink out of hoses.
Oh, they still are.
Really?
Yeah, you should not drink out of regular hoses. Well, they make hoses that are safe.
I
You're telling
like...
me this when I'm way old.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Lori.
Like if you have an RV, you have to buy a special hose to fill up your RV's water tank, or else you're filling it with lead water.
Whoa. Okay. I've drank. The thing is, I must have been born like an absolute genius because I've had like three concussions. I drank out of hoses, and there was this one house we lived in that had lead paint that it was like going to be demolished soon. Like as soon as we moved out of this military base, they were going to demolish this anyway. So it had lead paint, and my parents were telling me not to mess with it, but it was so satisfying to peel, so I would sometimes.
And delicious.
Yeah.
I don't think I ate it.
It's you're probably okay if you didn't
eat
it. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I didn't
eat
like,
it. Or inhale the, crumble it up and inhale the dust. Right. Like, that's bad for you.
Huff
yeah,
and
if you
lead
picked
paint.
At it. If you just picked at it, it's probably fine.
Okay.
Your problem. Huff and lead paint.
But, like, they know that lead paint is sweet because people ate it.
I know. Yeah. Oh. Delicious. I'm not kidding. It was... I mean, like, if you were to line up three different paints side by side, I could tell you which one's lead.
Wow.
Just by taste.
It's crazy.
Delicious.
And on top of that, with the, rude, dealing with the people in there, I stopped going to my doctor, so I went to Planned Parenthood for something, not an abortion. And I had to deal with, right after that, dealing with those crotchety old people, I go and deal with these two, clearly younger than me, Gen Z girls that were just so incredibly nice. I was just like, I bet those old people walk around saying, the kids nowadays are so rude. And That was just a double blind anecdotal story of one time, a thing that happened, but I still stand by it because I live in a town with lots of old liberal boomers.
And I work in retail. I meet a lot of old boomers. They'll come in and they're like, well, that seems awful expensive. I'm like, well, don't buy it. You right. know, it's That's like so true. Not putting a gun to your head.
Yeah. How dare you have prices?
It's like, do you got cream soda? I'm like, no one wants cream soda anymore. I'm sorry. Well, you should have it. I'm like, well, no, I'm not going to play that game.
I won't say anything.
Does it taste like lead?
Not as good.
No, okay.
That would totally make sense. Creamy lead flavor.
Missing the good old days.
Reminds me of my youth. And conversely, I deal a lot, you know, all school year with what are they, like Gen ZZZ or what?
College
what is an
kids
18?
Are now Gen Z. 18, okay, 18 is like Gen Z.
Okay, so I deal with Gen Z a lot. And I got to say, 99% are so pleasant and so kind. Every one of them. When they drink, I will say that the males tend to use bro way too much. That bothers me. But it's not a big deal. It's like we have chicken tenders. Bro, they got tendies. I'm like, I kind of get sick of them.
Yeah.
I can take them in small doses, the bro thing. But, but yeah, the crotchety older boomers. And I don't think it's just liberal. I think the crotchetiness, it's liberal and conservative.
Yeah, I'm actually thinking back to working at the Moose Mart, and there were definitely tons of mean older people. I don't remember a young person ever being mean to me. If anything, I get this vibe from everyone in New England that they're less likely to just start talking to you.
Yeah.
So when I first started working at the Moose Mart, I would just start talking to people if they're like waiting in line, and I just basically stopped doing that. Because I'll be like, so do you guys go to the college? And they're like, yeah. And you're just like, okay, never mind. Like,
they're okay with as far as New Englanders go, they want a very little amount of chit chat. They expect some, but they don't want too much. If you go beyond that, they just begin to look at you like you're talking too much. I just wanted you to say hi. How was your day?
That's I definitely it. Can understand being annoyed by, like, somebody stopping you from leaving or something. But, like, otherwise, just having a nice conversation, things that I just like to do that. But I also, okay, I can see, like, some amount of, like, just very forced chit-chat is annoying. And just, like, people saying the thing you know they're going to say. Like, one thing I always hated in school was, like, when you're late and then the rest of the day, the kids are like, and Bonnie was late, like, for example. Just the things that you know they're going to say that they say all the time, and they're like, they keep repeating it. It's like, remember that time that the teacher brought cookies and she dropped one, and then you bring it up all the time, and it's very forced.
And Bonnie was late.
And Bonnie was late.
Right.
Well, that definitely, see, that's the thing that always comes to mind because it happened all the time because I was late to school all the time, and late to classes all the time. And still late to everything all the time. But
you were on time tonight. I was one running late. And I'm embarrassed by that. I don't like to be tardy.
I live here. So if I'm late to Free Talk Live, that'd be pretty bad.
We'd all be late.
I just couldn't make it down the steps.
Yeah.
You know, it was.
And it's been close sometimes. So, well, what we were really talking about wasn't really boomers and Gen Z. We were talking about robots and minimum wage workers.
It's a natural progression.
And there's this opinion piece from the Los Angeles Times where this person is saying that there is no relation between the fact that the minimum wage went up to $20 in California in that same week the first fully autonomous restaurant opened up in Pasadena, California. But I think there is he's even calls it a myth that they're related. He says, I study low-wage industries in Los Angeles County, including the effects of new technology on workers. My research shows how automation does not always lead to greater efficiency and cost-cutting for businesses.
But sometimes it does. Sometimes it absolutely does.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe sometimes it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. And a lot of people, So when I was working in IT, I mean, my biggest problem was people go, you know, I got this great idea, this new program. It's going to be great. We're going to design it. It's going to work perfect. My first question was always, have you done this on paper? Have you actually done this task you want to automate? Do you have the workflow mapped out the way it works? And can you give that to a developer so he can replicate the steps and make it more efficient? But more often than not, people just come up with this brilliant idea and they say, before we try to figure out how it could work, let's just try to automate it. And doing that, if you automate a bad process, you make the bad process more inefficient. It makes your business more efficient because you've just created a newer, faster way to screw things up.
Just guessing what a robot can do seems like a bad idea.
I think what the author of this opinion piece is conflating is like things like self-checkout might not be cost-saving because people can exploit it.
Yeah.
But in a restaurant, nobody's going to jump behind the counter and cook their burger and run out. Like, it's just not going to happen.
If they had self-cooking restaurants where you could just, you know, walk in and help yourself to the fridge and make whatever you want.
Yeah.
I wonder how they're going to stop that. Like, people just walking in and going into the ingredients.
I'm sure that it'll be all sealed off with, like, you know, like vending machine style robots that belt one thing to the next area and then it pops out at you.
And maybe there are some people there, but then again, this one says fully autonomous, so.
Yeah, and that's always a question. I mean, really, is it going to be fully autonomous? Are there no human beings in that building? I guarantee you they're going to start off, there's going to be a few around just to fix things. Mm-hmm.
I saw this tweet that was like, this is one of those things that I see and I wonder, why is a human still doing this job? And basically it was ice cream, like Neapolitan, so like the three colors coming out of a square tube as if it was Play-Doh just being pushed out of this ice cream pint shape or gallon shape. Mm-hmm. And then they take the gallon thing, they grab it and they squish it off. Basically, they kind of like cut it off in its now inside of its bucket, ice cream bucket.
Right.
And me and Ian were talking about this. I was like, why would they think that a robot could do that? It seems like so it's like some people just really do just guess robots can do things that they cannot do. Like,
right.
That's so you need so much dexterity, even though it's like.
I mean, they have robots doing surgery, like microsurgery.
Yeah.
Where they're
alone?
Cutting. Well, yeah. Like the surgeon is controlling what it's doing, but the robot can do all those movements. So if you program it to do something, a repetitive motion.
Yeah.
It should be able to.
603-283-6160. What do you think? Should the minimum wage be raised to $20 an hour everywhere? 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up.
Hi, I'm Derek J. I don't want a politician to represent me. To me, government is the idea that one group of people can coerce everyone to comply with an edict or face increasing punishments up to and including death. Despite perhaps the most noble of intentions, the best government services are a far cry from what could be provided for by voluntary interactions. Besides, the people who call themselves the government wage wars and put peaceful people in jail for crimes involving no victims. If Starbucks used some of its money to drop bombs, I wouldn't shop there. So why would I support the American Empire? The Empire does not require my consent.
Derek J's Victimless Crime Spree. You can order your copy of the Director's Cut DVD now at victimlesscrimespree.com.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control, and 603-283-6160. 603-283-6160 is the phone number here. That's 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Lori,
and Chris.
And I would like to thank Elephant in the Room, who's our silver level amplifier with us. That means that Elephant in the Room is giving us at least $5 a month for being an amplifier. That means that he's helping to advertise, market, promote, and support Free Talk Live. And we really appreciate that. And if you'd like to join him, you can go to amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. And we do already have a caller on the line. That number is 603-283-6160. Sarah from New Mexico, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind, Sarah?
Oh, thanks for taking my call so fast. I just wanted to say that I think New Mexico was ranked the sixth in the nation for one of the highest insurance rates for the cars.
Well, it sounds like everybody in New Mexico is getting hit by cars or driving off the road or flying off bridges or something. So it's
drunk
probably
driving.
Probably because
all
of that.
All of those, all in the same
all
day.
At the same time. So probably why.
The whole thing is that I hope that these people realize that everybody has to have their insurance car rate bumped up because of other people's behavior. I guess it's a collective behavior. But I was told that you could actually volunteer to have like a monitor box installed in your car and the software to monitor your driving.
Yeah, a lot of people do that. And you'll get a cut on your car insurance rates if you do put Big Brother inside your automobile.
Well, yeah, the more you incentivize people just letting themselves be spied on, the easier it is to spy on them.
That's a good point.
Well, why are they doing that? Because the car people, if they could monitor you, that you'll be a better driver. That's what they're assuming. And so they're just offering you an automatic discount, right?
They're offering you a discount in return for you having a verifiable way to prove that you drive safely. And I kind of get that. I'm not really opposed. I am opposed to the government having access to all my cell phone location and speed data. I have a problem with that. But a private company like an insurance company providing a service, if they come up with a more accurate way of analyzing which are the safe drivers and which are the dangerous drivers, that in the end rewards people who do behave better. And insurance is about risk, right?
I guess.
Yeah, so how much discount do they give you if you volunteer to have you guys been offered this? How much like do they give you 3% discount? I mean, no, it has to be a big enough incentive.
Yeah, I think it was like 10% on some ad that I saw. I know Allstate has that, and a couple of the bigger insurance companies have programs.
Insurance
10%?
Is a scam.
I mean, what if you want to say, hey, stick that thing? I mean, that's saving you money, unless you're going to speed and run red lights and all that.
Sarah, do you have any problem with the government spying on you and knowing what you're up to?
Not really. I don't really have much of a problem with the government doing it. I mean, and this is actually voluntary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I understand.
I don't mind having government spying on you if it's necessary.
It's never necessary.
You know, like red light cameras. You know.
Exactly. That's not necessary.
It's never necessary.
I mean, in my perspective. But I also wanted to mention that the cars have these black boxes automatically installed in certain model cars.
I've heard of this. I don't exactly know what it means, and I don't like it. I know it's a bad thing.
Well, you know how, like, there's a plane crash or a shipwreck, and then they figure out how fast they were going before it crashed, or how fast they were falling. But they have this higher, like the more expensive cars have an automatic black box installed into their cars.
Yeah.
That's so you buy that model of car, it comes with it automatically.
Well, that's the incentive to the auto manufacturer. They can say, well, in this accident, you can clearly see that they were speeding, or that they took that corner too fast and they pulled too many G's, and that contributed to whatever it is. It's absolutely not our fault. That's what they're out to do. To have a way to be able to prove that. I get that.
Yeah, and the insurance company is going to incentivize you having your information available to them, because if you do get into an accident, they could say, you were going 5 miles over the speed limit.
Right.
You're denied. We're not paying your claim because insurance is a scam.
Yeah.
Well, the black box things, I think it's something that's built in cars nowadays, and people...
Are you serious? Wait a minute. Is it in all of the cars or all the expensive cars?
Yeah, I don't know anything about that.
I have heard a little bit about this, kind of forgot it was a thing at all, and it's something that people will say, like, oh, I don't want one of the newer cars because they have all this gear in it to spy on you, like the black box, apparently, and that's what it's called, but I don't know what that means at all. I guess we don't have anybody on the show tonight like Matt who knows everything about cars.
Right.
I don't.
We're living.
Black box, you heard about the, it's in all of the airplanes, right?
I don't know, actually. I really don't.
Yeah, I understand that from a aeronautics point of view, but I'm not aware of every single car having its own version of a black box installed. Or all new cars, or all new cars since 2021. I don't know that. I'm not going to comment on it because I don't know.
Well, that's what they're doing, and then you don't have much of a choice. If you want that electric, newest model car with a high function, that's what it comes with. So you, what choice do you have? I mean, all of these cars will have a black
that's
box.
That's right.
I don't buy a Tesla.
Apparently,
and
it's
bet that is the toughest for crazy intelligent stuff in the car.
Yeah, spying on you. Apparently, the black box is called an event data recorder. That doesn't really help me with anything.
Like a flight data recorder.
Mm-hmm. And also that, you know, that that ship that wrecked, that demolished that bridge? Mm-hmm.
Yep, I just thought of that the other day. How I forgot all about that until yesterday for some reason.
Well, because there's so much news all the time that you forget all of the news.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to be thinking about that, Bonnie. We thought about that yesterday.
Yeah.
Now you're supposed to think about Israel.
There's a new crisis.
Exactly.
Well, all of the ships have a black box. And they were trying to figure out exactly what speed and what they were doing before it wrecked.
And I'm sure that goes back to... the people who provide marine insurance and those things, they want to know, are they liable? And from that point of view, you could argue one way or the other that it's a good thing. I just found it funny that everybody's like, Baltimore, such a beautiful town. It's like,
was suddenly happening.
Yeah, I've been to Dundalk, Maryland, and that is not one of the beautiful parts of the city of Baltimore.
I've been to Baltimore, and that's not the word that comes to my mind.
Dundalk,
when I think of Baltimore is beautiful. That's not the one.
Yeah, and a lot of it really isn't. There's
sketchy,
a couple nice
dirty
parts. Yeah.
I only drove through Baltimore, and I seriously was talking about this today, that I will never do that again. It was so scary. Or, you know, like outside of it, not even like in downtown or something, but it was so scary. I think angels controlled my car for me.
So I love Baltimore. I love parts of Baltimore. I love the Inner Harbor, and I love Fells Point and Canton. These are neighborhoods. They're nice. But if you walk like two blocks in the wrong direction, you are instantly on locations for The Wire.
That makes it not nice, though.
Yeah. I know that.
So the nice places aren't very nice if you can just be like, hey, not nice place. I can yell to you from here.
You're close to some bad, sketchy places. We used to go to the Preakness. Have you ever heard of the horse race?
Yeah, yeah.
So we used to go to the Preakness every year, and everybody dresses up and wears their, you know, fancy hats. The girls wear their fancy hats with
like
black-eyed Susans and stuff like that on them. Mm. And
we should do that here in Keene, but like just for fun.
Yeah, right. I was thinking that the other day because I saw people that went to a derby. I don't know if it was the Preakness. Is that what you said?
It would have been the Kentucky Derby.
Oh, okay.
I think that was the most recent one.
They were wearing those little hats that kind of were off to the side, have some lace and some flowers, and they're really cool. I was like, I want a reason to wear that.
Yeah, let's just have like community fancy day where we all just get fancy.
Nice.
But what I was going to say was, have you ever been to Leakin Park in Baltimore?
I've heard of the band.
Oh, it's spelled different, actually. It's Leakin, like a leakin sink.
I have not been there.
Well, it's a place where it's just like a park in the middle of Baltimore, and 85 bodies have been dumped in the woods there through the last, like, since 1970.
Sounds legit.
And the cops, like, don't go there. It creeps them out, too. It's so creepy looking.
The cops don't go there because it creeps them out?
Well, I don't know if that's why, but apparently they,
Baltimore
like, don't really
cops
go there.
Creep me out.
Yeah. And a cop, I was talking about this because I had seen a documentary about it, and I was like, I will never go to Baltimore ever. Well, I saw that documentary and I was talking about it on the show, and an ex-Baltimore cop called in to say, first of all, he always thought it was Lincoln Park,
right.
And he's from there, and that he said that that place is so creepy and everyone knew, like, don't go there, but also that Baltimore is just getting worse and worse and worse, and nobody wants to be a cop there. Yeah, and then whenever that ship hit the bridge there, people were calling in like, Baltimore is the most beautiful place. It's so close to my heart, like Turd Ferguson.
You've never been to Dundalk. I'm telling you, it is. There's two things in Dundalk. Old, decrepit factory buildings and the worst strip clubs you can even imagine.
Like cigarette burns and bullet holes and stuff.
The nice ones are just burned with cigarettes and stuff like that. The ones I'm talking about are burned with crack pipes.
Mm.
Yeah, it's horrific.
Hey, but I was going to this. You think that Mexico drivers, they'll drive better if they want to save money? Do you think that, like, it'll...
I do think that that's going on in New Mexico, Sarah. It's just that they don't want to do it, I guess. Like, most people don't want... The thing is, you're right, it is voluntary now that to get the insurance companies to watch your driving so that way you can save money. You're right, that's absolutely currently voluntary, but I think tons of people intuit that that is just a one-way street to getting somehow put into prison because the insurance told the cops what you were doing during an accident and, you know, just voluntarily getting spied on.
And then Chuck Schumer will come up with some brilliant new proposal to get some legislation in there, which makes these requirements on all cars. And if you have an older car, you have to pay for it because it doesn't, it's bad for the ecology anyway, so you have to pay for that to be, you have to pay for your government to spy on you.
And this person in the chat room also said that 95% of new vehicles have an onboard event data recorder.
There we go.
So I guess that's all of them.
There we go.
Thank you for the call, Sarah. And that number is 603-283-6160. We appreciate your call, Sarah. Unscreened caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Siberia.
Oh, okay. What about Siberia?
So it's Dave. It's Ridley in New Hampshire.
Okay.
And I have, you know, I don't know if you guys may have already reported this, but I just learned yesterday that there was actually a referendum in Siberia on independence.
No, I didn't hear about that at all.
Yeah, I didn't either.
This actually happened in 2023. And it was not official. It was illegal. It was done online. And I guess 6 million people voted.
So what was the result?
They were trying to vote on independence from Russia. And it was, I guess, I was a little vague on the results. It seemed like they were giving them out province by province. But it looked like it was about 2-1 in favor of independence. But, of course, it's not scientific.
So what did the government do? Did it all send them home? Like send you to Siberia if you get in trouble?
Oh, yeah. So I think one of the things that's driving it is I heard on this broadcast that there's much higher casualties among Siberians than there are among people who are from places like Moscow. Like dramatically higher is what they were claiming, 15 times the casualty rate. So that may have been one of the things that drove it, if that's true.
Interesting.
And of course they are getting drafted, and sent, you know, all the way across the continent to go be killed by Ukrainians.
I'm sure people in Moscow are more likely to have a friend of a friend who works for somebody who used to be in the Politburo. And if you're in Siberia, you don't.
So Siberia is kind of, wow, Russia is so huge. Okay. I never really knew exactly where Siberia was. Like, if you're centering Siberia, it's still a bit east of center for Russia, and it's just so huge. That's all the way up, like, north of East China, and Ukraine, you know, has all of Kazakhstan, all of the Middle East in between that, if you're talking left to right, longitude. That's a lot of area that they're getting sent a way to go die in Ukraine. That sucks so bad. I never really thought about where Siberia was. I just knew it meant like out in the middle of nowhere. But yeah, it is.
And it's cold.
Yeah.
60 Minutes was out there a while back doing a documentary about the coldest town. I think it's the coldest, something like the coldest town on Earth or something like that. On the way there, they just mentioned in passing, okay, so the road that we're on right now, like the bones of the people who made the road are like, they're right underneath us here. it was one death per meter.
Yeah. And they had gulags in Siberia. That was in all the prison camps and all that stuff. They just sent them to the coldest hell on Earth.
Yep. I'm looking at where Poland is. The other day, somebody who isn't American, but Polish, was telling me that his great grandpa in the 40s just like skipped one party meeting with his friends to like stay at home and be like, hey, this is actually, we don't like this. This is really bad tier. And then he got sent to Siberia for 15 years. And then the war was like over and he made it home and died like very soon after.
Wow.
Like he only hung on, I guess you'd say, until he made it home. And then it like had destroyed his body, I guess.
And his crime was not going to the meeting?
Yeah.
Wow.
Mandatory.
Crazy. These are the kinds of things that, the present Russian government is a little better than the Stalinist government, but these are the kinds of things that Russians have done to Siberians. And see, you can imagine when the dam breaks, it's going to break hard. This is one thing as independence activists, you know, people are always complaining, well, if you're trying to, you know, make New Hampshire independent from the United States, doesn't that weaken the United States? My answer to that is that we need to weaken all the states, all of the nation states in the world, make them all smaller. And this is what I can do to help support the Russian freedom, the ability to leave Russia.
I think that's a good point. You know, people will talk about, you know, independence in the United States of, you know, like Texas and California's had some referendums and you guys are talking about it in New Hampshire of all places. It's like you're missing the point. Regardless of where you are anywhere on Earth, I believe you will be better off without a controlling centralized government that oppresses your rights. That's not a statement that's only for Americans or only for Siberians. It's anywhere.
So yeah. It's crazy that 6 million people voted in this and we're just now hearing about it from Ridley.
If we try to
draw publicity toward the independence movements in China and in Russia, that will help undermine those governments just as much as we're undermining the U.S. government. I hope we can undermine them all.
Right. I agree with you. Hear, hear.
And that's why Ridley does his ambush interviews on the government goons of local New Hampshire, and you can find that at ridleyreport.com. Anything else, Ridley?
That is all.
So, thank you for the call. So, in the last few segments, I don't have a whole lot more to say about this or anything, but I did want to finish off what this guy was saying. Let me pull it up really fast. So this guy works in low-wage industries. He studies low-wage industries in Los Angeles counties. And he was saying that automation, it doesn't always lead to greater efficiency and cost-cutting for businesses. And he says AI boosters would like the public and policymakers to believe that is so, though. But as we pointed out, of course, not every decision is going to work for every single business instantly and across the board.
Of course not.
So just saying, oh, it doesn't work every single time is kind of silly. So let's see what else he has to say. He says, this kind of innovation also promises to further income inequality. That's a weird way to say it because, like, people pushing automation don't promise to further income inequality, but he believes that will happen. So working people deserve to have their voices heard in determining how, where, when, or whether AI and automation should be used.
Incorrect.
I was going to say their bosses or the owners.
Yeah, if you buy the restaurant, then you get to decide how that restaurant is run. You don't get to just decide because you don't like it that nobody can run their business like that.
Yeah, like the people.
That is really entitled to even think that that's okay.
Right. But that is I don't want to stereotype all people in California. This is not against you, but this is against your government. You guys do this all the time. You allow it to happen. You allow them to make these short-sighted decisions that are going to eventually, you know, it's going to bite them in the ass. It happens time after time.
He says he was eager to visit Cali Express, the new roboticized Pasadena restaurant. Oh, it just has such a...
The one.
Yeah.
The one. And just see what's going on in there.
It has such is that really what it's called? Oh, I just realized what it's a joke about. AliExpress, the online store. If they're not making a joke about that, that's kind of weird. But also, why would you want your restaurant to be named Cali Express? Because there's basically a wish.com that's... just AliExpress. It's like a bunch of junk that comes from China.
Right.
Sometimes you'll get it. It's like, oh, this actually turned out fine. And sometimes you'll get it. It's like some crap.
And it's all full of lead.
Yeah, probably. I don't know.
Ooh, I'm listening.
Mm-hmm. It's tasty.
Is Cali Express full of lead? He says he was eager to visit Cali Express, the new roboticized Pasadena restaurant, to learn what the future of fast food looked and tasted like. Outside, there were slogans befitting a traveling circus. AI frying robot marvel. That was kind of fun. A tongue
That's
twister.
Perfect.
AI frying robot marvel. That's a quote from one of the posters outside. He said, my curiosity peaked. I entered, passing by a facial recognition scanner advertising the ominous sounding opportunity to pay with your face. That's so stupid.
I love this. And I give them credit for using some humor to poke fun at the people that they knew were going to show up, like this dude.
And also just kind of poking fun at the people who are just one thing I can probably agree with this guy on is the idea that convenience is always better. Pay with your face. That's not better. So he placed his order on a giant touch screen and watched a human worker spring into action behind the counter. They rushed to load up robots with raw beef, frozen fries, and scrambled around the kitchen retrieving cooked items that the robots had deposited into buckets.
That's not automated.
That's not fully autonomous. This is all a lie, as we
fully autonomous.
We did guess that.
He's not going to tell you that.
603-283-6160. More Free Talk Live coming up.
The Shire Free Church offers a sanctuary to those seeking an escape from state churches.
The Shire Free Church is an interfaith, diverse group of people that may not share identical theological beliefs.
As a member in or minister of the Shire Free Church, you are a sovereign individual and may be the faith of your choice.
We don't claim to have all of the answers.
We are open to all peaceful people.
We want to learn from each other.
What unifies the Shire Free Church and its diverse members is peace,
love,
and liberty. There are many paths to God, one for every individual.
The Shire Free Church does not define a specific path beyond these parameters that must be your foundation.
Peace as your way.
Love as your guide.
And liberty as your light.
Learn more at church.shiresociety.com.
That's church.shiresociety.com. Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number here. 603-283-6160, and Free Talk Live is brought to you by ForkFest, happening June 13th through the 16th at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. ForkFest is a fork of the Porcupine Freedom Festival. ForkFest is decentralized, so there is no ticket cost and no one is in charge. For more information and to connect with other attendees, you can visit the unofficial website, forkfest.party. That's forkfest.party. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Lori.
And Chris.
And it looks like we already have a caller on the line. Unscreened caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Yeah, what's the old guy's name? The old head?
Old guy. Chris.
Yeah, you. You.
Yeah, you.
Chris, hey, who are you to criticize Californian government policy? Has it ever occurred to you that voting for more government is the best way to a pure market?
Well, now
I don't
that
think
you,
that occurs to me.
No, now that you put it that way, I'm sold.
You just have to live through your entire lifetime of a crappy...
A rational ANCAP. I cannot believe there's a rational ANCAP in existence. So you believe in accelerationism? You see the value of accelerationism with Argentina. That's how Ukraine got its independence. They didn't commit the crime of secession. They waited till the USSR collapsed. And you can do the same by voting for more bigger government.
So
that is the true way to what you want.
Do you think that will ever happen in your life in California, even if you keep voting for bigger government?
Of course.
Great.
Did you see our last budget deficit?
Hey, how old are you?
Dollars.
About.
That doesn't matter.
Oh, well, it does. Matter. I'm asking if it will. I'm asking for a specific reason.
Bonnie, do you like older men? Do you like older men?
I'm married. Goodbye.
Ah.
Fine, I didn't hang up on him.
No, I...
Don't hang up!
No, I like that line of thinking. I'm just skeptical because the government can do... They hold all the keys. They all the coin. They all hold everything. And they can just make it up. Eventually, it will happen. Eventually, it will crumble. I'm just not confident that it'll happen quickly.
So there are generally two paths to this, right? You can either accelerate it or slow it down, like Malay's doing, right? You can slow down the learning process or accelerate it and wait for it to collapse. And guess who suffers? It's not the people that don't believe in the system. It's the people that invested in the system that suffer.
I think it's great that you pointed out that there is a learning process, considering the fact that you're acting like there's only one way to learn anything, and it's by going through terrible California-style or even Soviet-style communist governments, and then you learn that it's bad. Oh, look, now we learn it's bad. Well, one thing that's interesting about Malay is he literally is always doing stuff to try to teach his citizens. He's always explaining what he's doing. And I find that really refreshing, because with like Joe Biden, he's just like, or anyone else, like any politician we have up here, they're just doing stuff. They are lying to the public as much as possible. And I've noticed multiple times where Malay was like put out a press release about something they're doing, and he's explaining why it's going to help the economy. He's like laying it out for him. It's like people have other ways to learn. So it's just such a dumb argument. It's so dumb. And no, I really don't know how old you are, but I really don't think in your lifetime California is going to crumble and then become a great free nation. It's like you're going to be...
But we can hope, can't we?
No.
I'm not even allowed to hope.
I don't think that that's going to happen. You can hope if you want. But I just don't think that that's going to happen, that California is going to get so bad with big government that they're just going to collapse. And then it'll be like a really nice place to live, because all of the automatons that live around you, the other Californians, are just suddenly going to be like, you know what, we want to be nice neighbors and just trade. And, you know, they're not going to be like, my government is gone, I need a new one. And a new government immediately swoops in.
I cannot imagine if California, let's say California finally does crumble under the weight of their tremendous debt, and let's say that the U.S. government is able to bail them out and they crumbled. Can you imagine what they would replace it with? The liberals of California would go, man, we just didn't implement enough Marxism the first time.
Yeah.
They would just move to all the surrounding states and make them terrible, too.
Well, they do that naturally. They try.
I mean, in more amounts.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
Natural Californian behavior. So, yeah, if you haven't really dealt with Skeeter a lot, Chris, that is Skeeter, and he calls in to say basically that every single time.
Oh, okay.
And he's always really mean.
I didn't think he was mean, other than the old guy crack. I mean, you know, I am the youngest person in the studio. I am younger than Bonnie. I'm younger than Lawyer. I'm younger than Riley. I mean, I'm 17 years old.
Why are they just assuming
things about you? Right. I'm 17 years old. There, I said it. I'm sorry.
He's only 17 years old, and he is an entrepreneur, and we are all very proud of him. And he's stopped himself from saying, bruh. He got it surgically removed from his voice box.
Oh, my God.
Bruh. Anyways, bruh, we're going to talk about the Wall Street Journal. They have this, it's kind of a related article. It says why it's hard to get hired despite glowing job reports. And the actual print title said something like, people searching for jobs feel like they're being lied to about this like really good job economy right now. And I think it's great when people are starting to realize they might be being lied to. Mm-hmm.
Surprise.
So it's hard to get hired right now despite glowing job reports. Job seekers say getting hired is deceptively hard, and recruiters agree that qualified candidates are often passed over. The monthly jobs report out Friday will probably look great if recent months are any indication. Yet plenty of workers have rarely, if ever, felt more stuck. I hear from a lot of white... I just don't really get this, though. Like, it just seems like there's so many jobs out there.
Right.
So, people are saying they can't get hired right now.
And businesses are saying they can't get work.
It seemed so much harder to me
before
COVID.
Somebody's not telling the truth.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Yeah.
That's a good thing, or a good point. Aria used to always point this out. She was like, there are supposedly all these people that say they can't get a job, and there are supposedly all these people saying they can't hire anyone. Maybe some employees are just saying, oh, well, we can't find anyone to hire, so they can check off some box and get, you know, like they have a
right
position they can't fill, allegedly. Maybe there's some tax thing they're checking off. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, there are, and this is what people forget. Jobs come with requirements. There are a certain set of skills that are necessary for any job. So if you happen to be in a town where all the factories are trying to come back in and they can't find any machinists or operators with any experience, then yeah, it might be a very tight job market until the jobs and the businesses that are offering jobs reach equilibrium and those people become employable.
Hmm.
That's...
They might have to train people or
yeah
pay people to go get
and sometimes
some sort of class.
And sometimes it's worth it for a business to provide all that training just because they can't get anybody else.
Well, and they say they can't get anybody also, but like, so Stu was a machinist for like 13 years.
Okay.
And recently he was looking at machine shops and they're hiring for like $16 an hour. He's like, there's no way.
Because I would never really right low, yeah, to it's, be in a factory.
That's way too, like, that's not enough money to pay anybody with actual skills to do the job.
I'm surprised it's not, like, inflated from the past, because that feels like that's about what I was hearing about people in this factory in Magna, I think it's called, Utah. I was like, wow, you're getting $16 an hour, and that was 2017 or something. So I'm surprised it hasn't, like, it's not, like, $25
an hour. Like, you can get people
now
that you have to train at that price.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you're not going to get anybody, like, they want people with already having the skills and the knowledge and the certifications and all of that. You're not going to get that.
You can work at McDonald's for $16
right
an hour.
Yeah.
So
that's weird.
When I was working in like corporate, I mean, people with ridiculously high skills could travel, relocate, and get any kind of money you want.
Mm-hmm.
If you're willing to travel and live where the jobs that pay lots of money are, you absolutely can.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're in a market...
Do you want to go live in, like, Wyoming, though, you know?
Well, yeah, that's the point. And but sometimes people don't think about, you know, what jobs are actually available in a given area and how mm-hmm much competition is for that particular job. If there's lots of competition for a job, then the employers don't have to pay
mm-hmm
that much. And it's not going to be... And I think about this area, and I'm thinking about machine shops and stuff like that. It seems to me like I see more machine shops in this area than I've ever seen anywhere else I've ever lived, because this was, going back, you know, a manufacturing kind of area.
They have a lot of hiring signs, too.
Right.
But they're just not paying enough for skilled work.
Yeah, I can understand that, too.
Yep. So I think that's a big part of the problem with, like, I can't find a job and we can't find workers, is it's not realistic what they're asking and what the person wants to provide.
See, that's exactly
what
I was
saying. They
don't match. In like when I was talking about 2019, trying to get a job, just like a front desk person in a hotel, like that's not like something difficult. Like, oh, you need a degree to do that or something. But it's like, I would do a lot of other things for $9 an hour before I did that, because it's like, right. nonstop running across the hotel, getting these people towels and doing this and doing that. And sometimes you actually have to help with like the housekeeping when something crazy happens.
Right.
Like it's a demanding job. $9 an hour is not enough.
Mm-hmm. And like sitting in a lobby by yourself at night when anyone can come in and do whatever.
That's, yeah.
Jobs like that creep me out. Like that's working good. Alone overnight.
I did that all the time and it scared me so much. Mm-hmm. I ended up just sleeping there sometimes. At first I had my little sister stay with me and just like talk to me throughout the night, but then I realized like they didn't actually care if I slept, so.
Right, thank you.
But this is what people are saying. People are saying that they're hearing glowing reports about the jobs market, but when they go out there looking for jobs, it's hard and they've never felt more stuck. This writer from Wall Street Journal, Callum Borchers, says, I hear from a lot of white-collar workers on the job hunt who say it's much harder to get hired than the unemployment numbers make it sound. They complain about hiring managers who ghost them and draw out their interview process. They say job listings linger on companies' career pages and never get filed or get reposted repeatedly. And this seems to be something that happens. I used to always go on Indeed.com. I don't think I ever got a job from that. But I would always see these things that, like, it's been, like, a year and I'm seeing this one again.
Right.
And it's still being posted on Indeed. Like, wouldn't somebody have come and snatched this job up by now? It might be something like Aria's, like, conspiracy theory that for some reason if a company is saying, well, we just can't hire people, like, maybe the government's bailing them out in some way.
Well, and sometimes it is economics. Like, if you've got a position... If I had a position available for an engineer, I knew that when I was going to take it on, it would make things a little easier and bring its own challenges. But hey, I got another guy to spread the workload around to. But I also know that that's going to ding my budget. So if I can just, I got it posted.
Hmm.
Any luck filling that? Nah, not yet. At the end of the year, I could look better because I didn't spend as much as my budget allowed me to. So that's a good thing, too. That's a middle management type of think. I mean, you have to think about these things, too. It's also, how's your budget doing internally and all that?
Hmm.
So there may be some self-interest in letting that job linger for indefinitely, if you could.
Yeah. Hmm. There is a caller on the line, Dan O'Neill, and you're in New Jersey, right, Dan?
Yeah, my name is Dan. I'm calling from New Jersey. Hi, Bonnie. How you doing tonight?
Hey, how are you?
Good. We're having a party on 5/24, and it's an event to raise awareness for political prisoners around the world, especially Ian Freeman, Roger Ver, Ross Ulbricht, Edward Snowden, and Julian Assange. These guys are all in prisons around the world, rotting away. They're heroes, every single one of them, on a major level. So the IRS and the DOJ just put a lot of charges on these people. And when they go to court, the jurors probably just think, well, they must be bad people. They have 97 charges on them.
Hmm.
So this is kind of what I see. Also, the IRS has no jurisdiction, basically, over anything other than the 10 square miles of Washington, D.C., a post office, or a military base.
Yeah, they're bringing IRS, tax charges against Ian and Roger, among those, if not also Ross. I don't remember if Ross had some.
And we're going to have more audits this year.
Hmm.
The IRS says
It's
going to be great.
Well,
yeah, 87,000 new agents, I think, right?
Yeah, and Biden announced that, you know, we're really going to ramp this up and we're really going to go get these people. But we're only going to look at people. Nobody who makes less than $400,000 a year is at risk of an audit, which I don't believe for a second.
Mm-mm.
And I'm counting the minutes. Like, It'll be seconds after they make that final announcement that we're going live that they violate their own thing.
Oh, yeah.
They'll lie.
So I'm glad that you called in to bring this up. I did want to bring this up tonight, but yes, Dan is putting together a party. So there's the Libertarian Convention, the national one that's happening in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. And he asked them, oh, are you guys doing like an after party? And they weren't. So they gave him the green light to throw a party. And he's making basically the theme political prisoners. So Free Talk Live is sponsoring the event among some other great companies or whatever, like Bitcoin.com is also sponsoring the event. And he has something called the Hall of Felons that he's got. He just added Roger Ver to, and Ian is on it. And I think it's going to be a great night. I'm going.
Nice.
Yes, it's going to be an awesome night. And to talk about Roger Ver for a second, I think he's in the same jail that John McAfee died in a few years ago.
So, that's terrible.
We know he's in the same country. Yeah, who was it that called in? I think it was last time I was on the show. They were saying that, well, fortunately, he's not in that same jail.
But... So that was Aaron Day said that he wasn't. But then I've seen online a couple times that he is, but I haven't gotten it like verified. I've just been hearing people say that.
I don't think it matters. If you're in jail in Spain waiting extradition to the United States, it's not a good thing. Hmm. We can all agree on that, right?
Yeah. And I mean, if the same government people are going to be in charge of the prison.
That is true. And also at this event, everybody there is going to get Bitcoin.
Nice.
We're going to try to get every activist in the whole country to learn to use peer-to-peer money. And let's create a counter economy. And let's get this going and more across the whole country and around the world.
That's exciting. That's a really cool feature of this party, to get a crypto in everybody's hands there. Going to go around talking to people about it then.
Nice.
Definitely. And I just want to thank Free Talk Live and Ian for, you know, really just anchoring this whole event, getting us going. And I just want to say thank you to you guys, and you guys have always been like, you know, the best radio show and the whole. God, I think I've been listening to you guys since about 2012.
Wow!
And back then, you guys were pretty much the only radio station that I can remember, other than Roger Paxton, I think.
Right.
So, have a good night, guys, and.
We appreciate that so much. I'm really excited for that. This is a great idea for a party that you have. And Dan goes to Pork Fest every year. He actually got Mark Passio on my show too. Mark Passio was advertising an upcoming thing that he was doing, and I love Mark Passio. So, and Dan knew that I love Mark Passio, and he knows him because they like live in the same area. So he got him to go on Free Talk Live to talk about his thing, and just talked for like half an hour. It's so cool. And I'm really excited for that party in D.C. The Emo ANCAP, Ben the Emo ANCAP is DJing it. Mark Edge of Free Talk Live is emceeing it. And I'm just going to go. Like, I don't have anything. I don't want to have to do anything.
Nice. That's the best way to go.
Yeah. And now that I know that, like, Bitcoin's going to be kind of like a feature, that's a really cool thing. Thank you so much for the call, Dan. We really appreciate it. That's one of my favorite, like, not advertising. That's one of my favorite types of activism, is just getting people to understand cryptocurrency. I've had, like, it's slow trickles. Like, I used to just put on my Instagram all the time, like, if you want me to explain cryptocurrency to you, just hit me up. I will do it. Like, I don't care who you are. And that didn't really work. But, like, slowly throughout my life, tons of people have been like, hey, Bonnie, I've seen you talk about this. Can you help me? And I've helped them figure out getting a wallet or whatever. It just happens all the time, basically. And I've gotten just like in conversation with people. I got a really old lady to get a cryptocurrency wallet once. She was really interested in the gold backs. I sent her her first cryptocurrency. And it's just like, it's so silly to act like old people can't be interested in cryptocurrency, because they're interested in sound money too.
Yeah. And a lot of them, for a lot of important reasons. I mean, they've been through bad money. They understand. Which I find interesting.
They remember when the dollar was gold-backed.
Right. Well, they do. I mean, some of them have recollections of that, and they're very interested in it. And they've been through, you know, upheavals like World War II. I mean, that was hellish on economies. And then they lived through Nixon's de-dollarization or taking the last of the backing of gold away from that in the early 70s. And that was traumatic for a lot of people.
Well, the lady I was talking about wasn't quite World War II old, I don't think.
But she might have been 1970s old.
Like born in the 1970s?
Now that's old to you, Bonnie?
No, I thought that's what you were saying.
No, I'm saying people that, well, that's when Nixon took the last of the gold standard away from the dollar.
Oh, I did not know you could go bring your dollar and get gold in the 70s.
So in the 70s, it was slowly going away.
Wow, I thought that ended in the 30s.
But the last ties, that was the first blow, but it took until Richard Nixon in 1971, I think, before there was absolutely, it was untethered. There was no relationship between the price of gold and the U.S. dollar after Nixon.
Wow.
Yeah.
My parents were born in 1970. That's not that old. It's not like what I would call old people. They're like middle-aged, I guess.
See, she keeps looking at me when she's, whenever she says something like that to the dear listeners listening, she looks at me and she says, that old. Like,
that old.
It's not like Chris old. It's old.
You're
but,
only 17.
But not Chris He's, old.
Chris right. is only 17 years old. So I really appreciate Dan bringing up that party because I wanted to bring it up tonight. And I also really appreciate him including Ian in that. Ian was one of the first people he thought of when he was thinking of, like, what could be my theme? What's a good idea? And he's just, like, spreading the word, basically. I mean, it's, like, at this point, it's kind of the best you can do because, I mean, he's just appealing his convictions. And that will go in this month sometime where they already filed to appeal. But Ian's lawyers will put in their first paperwork that's, like, okay, this is what we're saying this month.
Right.
Not sure what it's called because they all have their own names.
Right. Well, good. I hope he's successful with every one of them.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, but one already did get thrown out by the judge. Some lawyer students I was talking to like a week ago told me that it's actually common for judges to throw out things that the jury ruled on. I had like a whole charge that the jury ruled on. I never heard of that before. They're like, no, it happens. I was like, I've never heard of that before. Ever, like on TV, and I go to court cases a lot, so it's not like I'm just like someone who's never been to court saying that either. Right.
The rules are all made up. Mm-hmm. Like they just make them up on the spot.
Yep.
They just decide how to do it that day, how they're feeling, how their breakfast went, if they had a fight with their wife that morning. Like all of that just goes into their decisions.
Well, they are humans.
And they can say, well, the jury decided. Even if it gets overturned, they still get to stand up in front of the microphone and say, the jury decided.
Yep. 603-283-6160. The justice system in the United States is totally unfair. Have you been a victim of it? 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up. Don't go anywhere.
Eleutheromania, the insatiable desire for freedom. It's the new three-song heavy metal EP from Captain Kickass. Available now on your favorite music app or get it directly from CaptainKickass.com. Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. Talk radio that you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number here. That's 603-283-6160. And Free Talk Live is brought to you by libertyminded.com. Official Free Talk Live gear like t-shirts and hoodies are available at libertyminded.com. Plus, you'll find a unique collection of cool and funny liberty-oriented clothing at libertyminded.com. That's libertyminded.com. And with you on the show tonight, you've got me, Bonnie. Sorry, I did that backwards. I muted myself. Okay, so on the show tonight, we've got me, Bonnie,
Lori,
and Chris.
And we already have a caller on the line. So, unscreened caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
The reason a commercial on the Super Bowl costs so much money is because so many people watch football. And a lot more than you would expect to be watching the coverage of a chess tournament. Because chess is for intelligent people. And for this reason, see, chess players understand chain reaction consequences and where they think things logically and analytically. But this is why when talking to people, we need to remember that they can't really necessarily connect chain reaction consequences. So when you're talking about, for instance, zoning restrictions drive up rents. Oh, actually, zoning restrictions cause housing shortages, and housing shortages cause rents to go up because you got more people scrambling to try to get a place to live. This is they don't.
See, well, that's not necessarily true. Well, I mean, zoning regulations can put all sorts of limitations on homes and houses being built in a variety of ways. It not necessarily does it always have to create a housing shortage for bad zoning regulations to cause unintended consequences.
But the consequences of zoning restrictions saying, no, you can't tear down that single-family dilapidated house that's got aluminum wiring and lead paint and asbestos and put up a multifamily or a big apartment house, see, that causes
that does that causes a shortage. I'm saying the bad effects of zoning are not limited to causing a shortage. It affects people's property rights that they can't use their land as they see fit. It's not something that's contributing to lack of housing, but it's certainly impacting that poor homeowner who now can't realize his dream or do whatever he wanted to do with his property. See what I'm saying?
What they want to do with their property also can be running a business on their land. And, oh, no, you don't. We don't want a factory in, quote, our, unquote, neighborhood on your land.
Not in my backyard.
People, you know, a working person would have to go up the street to get there and do a day's work and earn a day's pay, and then they'll go down the street when it's a public way. We can't have people going up and down the street when it's a public way. But I'm saying you got to remember you have to take one step at a time when you're getting your message out to the moron majority out there, because these people won't put together how zoning restrictions drive up rents and cause homelessness and all kinds of other bad things. And even when they do grasp it, keep in mind that you're talking to a bunch of crazy, deranged, depraved, degenerate, selfish, greedy potholes who don't give a fire truck about some struggling families that can't afford to pay the rent and are going to be living on the street begging strangers for spare change. And then when the homeless shelter is full, crawling into an alley and freezing to death, they don't give a flying duck. The only thing that's going to work on most voters and most politicians is an ultimatum, such as you have until sunset to repeal these restrictions or else. And the or else has to be something that they care about, and it mustn't be anything that violates anybody's rights. And the only thing that matters, see, they have a right to their wrong opinion, but as the abolitionists ran into the same issue, holding wrong opinions doesn't entitle anybody to keep slaves. In this case, the police forces of the hostile government are the enemy. They are the enemy targets.
Couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah, except I think you would disagree with him in a way, because he believes targets as in literal, like, target.
Would I?
Oh, I'm saying I don't know if you believe that.
I'm not saying I do or I don't.
He says targets, he means...
I understood exactly what he was implying.
Okay.
But would I?
I don't know.
I don't know. That the jury's still out.
He is famous for that. Yeah, I just tend to agree with him that government regulating things is going to cause all kinds of chain reaction problems that the people voting for those things usually don't know about. The thing is, like, that's not my specialty, so I just let him talk a little bit about his thoughts, but I don't really have much of an answer for him about specifically housing regulations causing housing shortages. Well, I can believe it.
They do. They absolutely do, and I didn't disagree with him on that. Hmm. I'm saying he's like, that. This is what happens when you do that. You get this.
Hmm.
And I'm saying, no, when government gets involved in zoning or saying what you can do with your own property, the list of things that can go wrong for a homeowner, for a property owner, it's long, and it's not just about whether you can build cheap housing or not.
Property ownership is a lie anyway. You're renting that from the government.
Unfortunately.
If you don't pay your taxes, they'll come and take it from you. If you build the wrong thing, they'll come and take it from you. Like, anything that you do on your land, you need to get permission from the government, or they're going to come,
Lori,
guns blazing, to take it from you.
All I have to do
you'll
is
own
I,
nothing
I,
and you'll like it.
I'll like it. I'll get an allodial title to my land, and then I will be the absolute owner.
Oh, yes.
Have and you that, ever heard this?
No,
what
no.
Is
but
that?
Anyone who claims, I'll get this and I'll get that, and then no one can tell me what to do, show me. Show me that you do that.
That's what I say. Allodial title is supposedly a legal thing that you could convert your title into, like you own your land and no one else has claim to it. Therefore, you don't ever have to pay taxes.
Yeah.
And every time they say that, well, you don't have to pay taxes.
But then you don't own, quotation, heavy on the air quotes, own that anymore because they come and take it.
Right. Mm-hmm. And because, that's what happens.
Because apparently when you're born against your will, you have signed a contract to bend your knee to all of the laws that other people have decided for you.
So
go get unborn.
That's the insanity.
Well, you can just leave and you'll have
exactly.
to
just leave go.
And then they'll just arrest you for not paying the taxes they decided 20 years later that you didn't pay.
Yep, that's
well,
literally
like
what's
Roger
happening
Vern,
with Roger.
Yep. Yeah, that's okay.
Just
he
leave.
Didn't pay his exit tax.
No, he did, but they're saying it wasn't enough.
It wasn't enough 20 years later.
Not enough.
Or something like that.
That's okay. We'll get it right
I
one
think
of
it
these
was
times.
10 years later.
Yeah,
but it's still
some
ridiculous.
Some ridiculous amount of time later.
Yeah.
It's offensive, and it should make every American sad that they believe in this country. If you still believe that this is the just and free country, the beacon of democracy in the world, I don't know what to tell you. I just feel sorry for you if you still believe that.
Yeah, I have. So when Gigi called earlier and she was like, my people, the people of this area that I just happened to also be born into,
the United States.
Don't understand that. How you don't just feel brotherhood with all people and just the people who happen to live or were born in the place that you were born. It doesn't mean anything to me. I hate lots of people that were born in the same place that I was born, and I think they're terrible people. And then I like a lot of people who were not born here. Like, it doesn't, none of that correlates into anything.
When I think of my people, I think of people who are very close to the people in this room.
Yeah.
That your friends and your family, these are the people I like that share the common beliefs and are fighting for the same things that I want to fight for.
My people that I have built some kind of relationship with.
And that to me is more important than where they were born.
Right.
And the other thing about it is people who think a certain way. Today I was just thinking about the fact that, like, because this grown woman called me immature for having a different opinion than her. It's this whole thing going on because I wrote an article on Free Keen that some people don't like. Well, I was just thinking about how, and she's just like a total normie that is for some reason, like, it's one of these total normie Republicans that think, like, oh yeah, I'm just the same as every other free stater. And you're literally just a normie Republican. You're here because, of the COVID stuff, and good. I'm glad that you're anti-vax mandates, but if everything else you do is Republican, I don't want to be in community with you. Like, I wouldn't move to the North to live in Alabama. I would live in Alabama where it's cheaper to live and warm. If I wanted to live among people who their only freedom issue is don't tell me to wear a mask. Okay, well, anyways.
Yeah,
so
I get it.
I was just thinking about the fact that, like, honestly, like, she's older than me, like, calling me immature, and it's just, like, not, doesn't even affect me at all, because, honestly, I do not respect most people, and it's, like, I can't help it, like, I don't respect most people whenever I walk around, and it's, like, that sounds like, oh, I'm a bad person. I don't mean respect their humanity. I mean, I don't have some sort of, I can't look around, and I'm talking about, like, especially outside of, like, nowhere near any free staters, like in a normal city, I'm walking around, it's like everyone older than me is probably stupider than me, probably like crazy, probably on SSRIs and voting for Biden or Trump, And just like, I don't have like common respect for most of these people, but when people put it out on Front Street, what their values are and they align with mine, I'm way more able to have just like even just a normal amount of respect for them. And that's why I just can't move anywhere else.
See, Bonnie, as a 17-year-old boy, I try not to stereotype people just because of how old they are.
Wait, what did I say about oldness? Oh, well, I was saying that in a positive way, in a way. Like, that's how I know I'm supposed to feel. Like, oh, I should look up to this person's opinion because she's older than me and she's trying to use that card.
And like, you should not.
Well, you're just immature.
You should not.
So that's a thing that the older generations used to like to say.
Don't look at me when you say things like that, Lori.
You should respect your elders. But just because you lived a long time doesn't mean you're entitled to any respect.
Right.
You earn respect. Respect is earned and not just given.
And I mean, of course, there's always like a certain amount of respect of like humanity.
Yes.
The other day I just saw.
Though.
Right.
Respecting human life. And that's one thing.
And it's just totally different than like
respect what they did with it. That's another thing.
Yeah. Like, you don't just value people's opinions just because they exist as a human being.
Well, I'm old and I've made these bad decisions for longer than you've been alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What kind of argument is that? But they do.
But basically, I do think that's why the Free State Project is such an important thing, and that's why I choose to live here. It's because, like, maybe one day there can be a whole community of people where most of the time they're respectable of a person. Like, I live in some normie place outside of New Hampshire, I'm about to say, and I don't know if my neighbors are absolute crazies, like pedophiles or something. I don't know if they're murderers. They don't come out of their house and talk to me. And I can be pretty sure that they're some form of uniparty fan. They're not intelligent. They probably have a slave job and they don't think about it or care. They probably do all this like, oh, scan your face to pay. Heck yeah, that's convenient type stuff.
And they do things like your back porch light is shining through my window. So instead of coming over to have a conversation with you, I'm going to call the cops to come to your door with guns.
Yeah,
to scare you into listening to what I want you to do with your own property.
Exactly. It is just like, I can't deal with that sort of thing anymore. It just, I don't know what it was about that scenario with that girl or lady calling me immature today. And it was, by the way, because I said that 17-year-olds are not children. I said 16 and 17-year-olds are not children.
I had my own apartment at 17.
I wasn't a child at 16 or 17.
You can't have an apartment as a child and a job and like pay your bills and all of that.
Yeah.
I had my own.
It's just so like, why don't you guys come up with different words? Because I know an 8-year-old is a child.
Right.
You really want to tell me that you define an 8-year-old the same exact way you define a 17-year-old? It's so dumb. She was like, maybe if you ever mature.
So 18-year-old being the cutoff has been so ingrained into people that they think that that's the day, like the day you turn 18, you are now an adult, which is not how it actually works. There's, you know, kind of a scale of maturity for every person that's different. And if that was really the case, like you can go and fight in the war and all of that when you're 18 and die, but you can't smoke cigarettes and you can't drink.
Yeah.
And you can't rent a car because you're not really an adult. Like, where is the actual line? They don't even agree within themselves in the government to tell you where the line is.
Well, we agree that it doesn't apply in every case.
Yeah. And then the age of consent is different in every state. Like,
yeah. And it's insane. I was listening to a conversation today, and this poor girl was talking about someone she knew, and the 16-year-old, I just heard overheard bits that this other guy was pressuring her and asking her to do things she absolutely didn't want to do. And my wife jumped in and said, you know, you can't stand for that. That is not right. Where is he? I'll beat the hell out of him. You know, Colleen got up on her and get all angry. And I started to ask more questions. I'm like, so how old is she? She's like, she's only 16. I'm like, how old is this guy? She's like, well, he's 17. I'm like, oh my God, you got to be kidding me. Mm. Like 16 to 17, they're basically the same age.
Yeah.
Why is that a thing? Well, it's still not right. That's her little baby. It's like, so now you're bringing feelings into it.
Right, that's what it's people's feelings.
And how do you... Okay, wait, so I thought you were saying the girl was in question was in the room, so it was her mom that was there talking about it?
Oh, well, a friend of her mom. She was relaying this story where, you know, this poor 16-year-old was being confronted by this older, more mature 17-year-old. And I'm sitting there going, no, that's not how the world works. I mean, they're basically the same age, but...
Yeah, in some way she probably likes the attention or something.
Right.
I've met 25-year-olds that shouldn't be trusted to make their own decisions. Like, there's no cutoff age for that. It's an individual thing.
Right, and women... I'm not trying to shortchange you. No, I'm doing the opposite of shortchanging you. You guys mature much younger than males do.
Mm-hmm.
I know this. I went through all that time, and we're just knuckleheads, and we remain knuckleheads for a lot longer than you guys do.
Like forever, pretty much.
Pretty much. Yeah. I still haven't gotten over it. Still at 17, I'm still a knucklehead.
Yeah.
I would say Ian is not. Ian is like always very mature.
But you didn't know him when he was 20.
Oh, yeah, I know. I always wonder what the heck would Ian have been like. He will sometimes be like, I was so crazy. And I'm like, how?
I can't see that.
I can't see that either. And Ian's my husband, by the way, listeners. Sometimes I forget when I'm just hanging out and talking.
Right.
But there's this law or two laws or two bills. I'm not sure if they actually went in effect or not, but just more proof that Florida is becoming a police state. Or actually, probably already is a police state. What are these two bills about, Lori?
This is from prospect.org. New laws are turning police into super citizens. A series of legislative and judicial efforts have removed police oversight from oversight boards and communities. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis recently signed two bills gutting the informal and formal oversight of the police, Senate Bill 184, the Impending, Threatening, or Harassing First Responders Act. Makes it a misdemeanor to stand within 25 feet of the police or other first responders if told to move.
Whoa.
If the purpose is to interfere with, threaten with physical harm, or otherwise harass them.
Whoa.
Harassment is defined to include substantial emotional distress.
Oh,
and
poor
what
police.
Counts as distress or who makes that determination is not defined. If they're emotionally distressed.
This is going to end so poorly.
I really hope
absolutely.
This doesn't. This hasn't passed
it
yet.
Has been signed.
Whoa.
Yes.
So DeSantis signed it, passed the Senate and the House, and
this sounds
it's
like
law.
It's directly targeting like First Amendment auditors.
Yes. If you can't stand within 25 feet, how are you supposed to record them properly?
Yeah.
No, you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
They're exempt from that.
That Lori, could hurt their feelings.
They don't.
Oh, no.
They're the
they
police.
Might not like the way
they don't
look on
do
camera.
Things wrong.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Morphine. I forgot.
Right. Well, more people need to remember that.
They're above the law.
Well, I didn't say that, did I? Yeah, it's asinine.
And then there's House Bill 601, simply titled Law Enforcement and Correctional Officers. Takes aim at civilian oversight boards, local committees set up by cities to provide outside supervision of police departments. Under the new law, the existing boards would be reestablished and any new ones created under new rules. Each committee can have 3 to 7 members, but one member must be a retired law enforcement officer. Importantly, all members must be appointed by the local sheriff or police chief, so that way they can investigate themselves better.
Exactly. That's perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
Please tell me more. It keeps getting better and better.
Both of these bills are designed to make the police more impervious to any meaningful oversight. The anti-oversight intent of the House bill, which requires the police to appoint the civilians who oversee the police, is transparent on its face. It follows moves by Arizona, which in 2021 adopted two laws requiring that police and police-trained civilians make up 67 to 100% of civilian oversight boards, and Tennessee, which gutted local police oversight boards in 2023. The Senate bill's impact may be a little less obvious, but it's still there. 25 feet may not seem like a significant distance, but in a city, it means anyone videotaping the police will likely have to stand across the street and thus behind rows of parked cars and traffic or so far down the block that officers can form a wall blocking view.
And plus, what are they going to get out? Tape measures?
Probably.
Yeah. No, they're just going to estimate.
They'll just shoot their taser at you, and if it doesn't reach, then you're probably
fine.
He
says he was 3 blocks away, but when I measured it, he was 19 inches from my face.
Mm.
Yeah, they're just going to lie. And, and see, now I like this story, not at all what's in it, but I like the fact that we're having this conversation after beating up on California liberals. talking about minimum wage laws and robots and stuff like that.
Right.
If any of you listening believe that we only want to attack Democrats, no, we want to attack anyone who does stupid stuff in the name of the government. And doing away with oversight of government is a stupid thing. There was a time not long ago when Republicans knew that.
Yeah.
They saw anything else
government
to be overreach. Right. We have to be accountable. This is so asinine.
Yeah, but then, you know, they are also the ones who like the police state.
Hmm. Especially with the cop side.
Yeah.
They like socialism.
They back the blue.
Thin blue line, baby.
Yeah, all of that gross stuff.
You know what Republicans hate? When you tell them that it's also socialism for them to demand that I pay for their protection services.
Mm-hmm.
they can't wrap their head around it. No. I'm like, okay, socialist? Me and Chris Wade were like trying to actually explain this to some pro-cop protesters once. We're like, what are you, a socialist? You want me to pay for your protection services? And they were like, I don't need, like, malfunctioning. And this one guy was like, well, you want me to pay for your joints? And I was just like, whispered to Chris, I was like, oh, it's so funny. He thinks you're on welfare and you're nice. Like a way more, you're probably way more successful than him.
But if you're volunteering to pay for joints, I'll get in line.
And that's Penguin. He doesn't even smoke.
I've never seen them handing out joints at the welfare office.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a thing that they do.
603-283-6160. Maybe in Colorado or something. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up. Radio that you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number. That's 603-283-6160. Are you tired of the oppressive rules and moderation of the big tech social media sites? Yeah. Our Mastodon server at social.freetalklive.com can set you free. Mastodon is free, open source, decentralized, and federated. Multiple apps are available for iOS, Android, Windows, Mac, and Linux. Social.freetalklive.com. And with you on Free Talk Live tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Lori.
And Chris.
And Lori, in the last segment, you were reading us a story about these two terrible big government, big police protectionism bills that got passed in Florida and actually got signed into law. One of them is that you can't record or be.
You can't stand 25 feet near them. Within 25 feet.
If they're going to say that it's hurting their feelings or causing them harassment, like if it's harassment by causing them mental anguish, like if they have body dysmorphia and they're afraid that they'll look bad on that angle in the camera, then, well, you're going to jail or whatever. What was the other one?
The oversight. They gutted the oversights, and there has to be a retired police officer on any oversight board, and they have to be appointed by the police. Anyone who's on the board.
I think they've covered all bases. Like, there is no way they can ever be found guilty of doing any wrong.
That's right.
They now can 100% investigate themselves and decide that they did no wrong.
There won't be anything to investigate because you can't see what's going on.
Hmm. Right, right. They're all innocent.
But there was more from that story.
Yeah, it goes on to say, even if someone can get a good shot of the police at work, the open-ended harassment language leaves them with plenty of room to argue that the person filming them is doing so to make them feel distress. One Florida House Democrat submitted a sarcastic amendment to rename SB 184 the "I don't want the world to see the police kill an unarmed innocent man like George Floyd again, so I want to protect bad cops and violate free speech act."
Nice.
I like that.
Yeah, I like that.
That's a great name.
Yep.
That's basically what it is. They don't want the world to see what they're doing.
That's right.
I mean, truth doesn't hide from the light.
There's no other reason to say that we armed, law enforcement officials can't have you guys standing too close to us. What is going to happen? We're going to call you a name and you're going to feel bad, or, you know, this is simply to protect them from being seen doing illegal activity.
Yeah. And even if it's illegal, doesn't even play into it. Unconstitutional plays into it.
I mean, they're supposed to be upholding these laws they believe in, so.
And they're supposed to be constitutional laws, but to me, when any government official violates the Constitution, which is, what, 5 pages of rules that they have to follow, 5 pages compared to the 88,000 that we have to follow, that's just the IRS portion of the tax bill, by the way.
Wow.
Then they can't even do that. That's why the system cannot and will not ever work. I could be wrong. Maybe they'll surprise. Maybe I'll be surprised one day and go, gosh, you know what? Government really did work.
I don't believe it.
I don't understand how anybody still supports this. Like how anybody still supports the police system when you see people getting beaten and shot and having their item, like their property, stolen from them and never to be returned.
Yep.
Having their rights just trampled all over. And people are still like, yeah, I support the police. Why, though? But why?
But do you think that's part of the messaging that, you know, you don't hear that much about? When we hear about that kind of story, we talk about it. And we make sure it gets a lot. Everywhere else, it gets like one page two headline. And, you know, in the news, 40 minutes in, they'll say something about it. Unless people see it. Unless too many people have filmed it.
People don't want to see it, I don't think.
No, and nobody wanted to see George Floyd. And the cops definitely did not want you to see George Floyd. But you had people there filming. And you couldn't avoid it.
So I have a Facebook account still. Because I just post memes. But I use it for like business stuff. And I just post memes on my personal page. But once in a while, I'll post something political, you know, and freedom oriented. Right. And all of like the memes and things that I post get like likes and like people comments. But whenever I post something about like your rights being violated and your freedoms being taken away, I am lucky if I get like one interaction. Mm. People don't want to see it. Or alternatively, Facebook hides it. Yeah. One of the two.
The algorithm.
Both,
because the algorithm just does what people tell you to do with their actions. So if I'm constantly liking things like that and looking at things like that, then I'm going to see those things.
Right.
But if you're only, you know, TikTok scrolling and watching videos of like dogs eating whipped cream or whatever, that's the things you're going to see.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, one thing I think about all the time is how many people that follow me see my stuff, considering the fact that everything I see in my timeline is like about Lana Del Rey, a singer. Like, I just mostly see that. I don't like see that many of, and then sometimes like big things that people I follow will pop up in it. But do they have some special interest I don't know about? And that's all of my followers, you know, that's all what their Twitter feed looks like. I know you're talking about Facebook, but I kind of switched it to Twitter because I don't have Facebook.
It's all the same thing.
Yeah.
Their For You page is on Twitter. It's like you could switch to following instead of For You. I don't know if those are the exact names, but the following one, it just kind of gets boring because it's like, you know, Lori liked this comment on this thing, like just like every little minute thing that's most recent.
I don't need that level of detail.
Yeah, right.
Right.
So I just kind of keep it to, But
Lana Del Rey.
Yeah. Right. The important things. But I also had people tell me when in like 2016, I got really like, I found out about cops being kind of bad people and all these videos online that you could find about them violating people's rights. And I found Cop Block, but that was way before I found out about the Free State Project or Ian or anything. It's not like I like knew who Demo even was. It was just like I would see these Cop Block videos and I followed Cop Block or liked it on Facebook.
Right.
But anyways, I was like nonstop posting stuff about like they're, you know, violating our rights. We don't need the cop. And I had people in my real life tell me like I should stop because like they don't want to see it. It's they're like, yeah, other people have been talking about it. Like you should just
we're really worried
cool it with
about
that.
You.
Yeah. And it's just like, wow, you don't care.
And, you know, people say, oh, there's good cops out there. They get into it for the right things. But the nature of the job is to violate other people's freedoms and rights and arrest people for nonviolent, victimless crimes and enforce unjust, arbitrary rules upon other people.
Oh,
and so you cannot be a good person and want that job.
Right. Like, it's an action that you're doing. You're either ignorant of what you're doing. It's like if I made a batch of cookies that were poisoning everyone, I could be a person that, oh, but I saw her walking her dog. She cares about her dogs. She's a good person. I saw her doing, like, giving a gift to a little boy. She's, like, a really good person. But if I, even if I didn't know, but I'm doing this action ignorantly, like, using these ingredients that are suspect and... Like, I'm doing a bad thing, and ultimately I'm being a bad person based on my, like, ignorance and killing people. Like,
yeah, just, even if lead tastes good, you shouldn't put it in your cookies, and if you do it, you're doing bad actions.
Old people seem to like lead.
My favorite chestnut is just, you know, a few bad apples. I mean, it's most cops are absolutely great. And only there's just a few bad apples that make the news that make the rest of them look bad.
Just I like when people say a few bad apples too, because the whole saying is spoils the bunch.
Thank you.
Nobody ends.
Nobody
the saying.
Ever says that. But yeah, it's asinine that people are they forgive the people that do the most to oppress them.
Yeah.
And that goes for politicians, police, and some other word that starts with P.
They have dad issues.
Padre.
That's what it is. All these people that are down with being oppressed, they have daddy issues.
Daddy issues. Mm-hmm. I love it. I've never heard that one. Okay.
So Reporters Without Borders every year comes out with a Freedom of the Press Index, I think is what they call it. They're, it's the Freedom of the Press, World Press Freedom Index.
And U.S. was number one again.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Number one.
I'm sure.
And I just wanted to discuss some of the results.
100, maybe.
And actually, no. What do you guess that U.S. actually is? Chris?
Number one. Okay. I am a patriot, it's obviously number one.
I bet it's number 47.
If you guys say stuff like that, you're communists.
I didn't have a chance to guess because Ian already told me it's number 55 in the world.
Mm.
So here's
Number 55. We're number 55.
We're 55. Here's
we should make shirts.
Right.
Some of the countries right above the United States are Belize is 54, Ivory Coast is 53, Chile is 52.
I'm guessing like the Netherlands and is the freest.
Yep, that's number four. Yeah. So Norway's number one, Denmark is number two, and Sweden's number three.
Yeah.
Damn, all that whole area. Making us look bad.
Yeah. With their IKEA furniture and their freedoms.
Right.
Netherlands is 4, Finland is 5, Estonia is 6. Yeah, it's like all those same countries. Portugal is 7, Ireland is 8, Switzerland is 9, and Germany is 10. Wow, Germany is more free than us at something. That seems so shocking, honestly.
And hey, props to Estonia. That's a former Soviet bloc country. I mean, that's great. That's coming as far as you could possibly move.
So there's still hope for us.
Right. There may be. I
still hope for us.
So, but.
Yep. I mean, that's pretty bad. Ian said that one thing that was funny is he doesn't have the internet in prison. He said that they purposely point out that Russia is number 162. Oh, Russia's so bad, but they just didn't even tell us what Ukraine was, which is number
classic
six.
Classic misdirection.
Yeah.
Number
yeah.
what?
Ukraine is 61, so it's not obviously not as bad as Russia. Russia is 162, so 100 worse. But it's just kind of funny, like and like Russia's so bad. Well, Ukraine isn't this bastion of freedom either.
Neither is the United States.
I think if you didn't make the top 50, I'll even say you got to go with the top 40 because the top 40's been a thing and it's still a thing. So if you're not in the top 40, you suck, and that's really bad for the U.S. I mean that's. See, a story like that should wake everyone up. What do you mean we are not, we don't even have a free press?
Right, they call it the land of the free.
But I just heard in the press that we're number one in everything.
I just heard in the press.
Right.
Well, yep, I just thought that was kind of a little bit of interesting stuff. Let's see, maybe it says how they get their stuff. It says a growing number of governments and political authorities are not fulfilling their role as guarantors of the best possible environment for journalism and for the public's right to reliable, independent, and diverse news and information. RSF, which I don't know what that stands for. I've been trying to figure that out because it's not Reporters Without Borders.
Resting statist face.
No. They are. That's what's weird. It says Reporters Without Borders, RSF. What? Why is it SF? Is it another language?
Could be.
So that's even what their logo is RSF, and then it says Reporters Without Borders. So yeah, that's their kind of like their motto. I don't know. It says that journalism versus disinformation in a super election year. So yeah, there's a bunch of elections going on like in the whole world right now. Turkey, Mali, the United States will have one. Those were 2023. Yeah, Malay was elected in Argentina. It's just like, this is a little like, wow, I even put this here. It says, it's talking about all the elections that happened in 2023. One of them was Javier Malay elected in Argentina. It says down 26 points to number 66. Well, it's like, it's not like that's because of Javier Malay.
He did all that in like a month. He immediately caused the freedom of the press to plummet that far with his radical ideas.
He did close a state
newspaper?
TV station.
Oh, did he?
Or
okay.
If not newspaper, then I think it was TV
station.
But that
literally has the opposite effect.
Yeah,
right.
That makes you freer.
And he wants to deregulate press and everything even more, but they're not letting him. So,
right.
Yeah, that was like a weird little dig in there. That's all I wanted to say, I guess. Yeah, because these people are a little weird to, you know.
But it's funny. Trust. Somebody's listening to Free Talk Live tonight, and they're like, man, I heard the weirdest thing on Free Talk Live. Like, the United States' freedom of the press rating is like 55th in the world.
Hmm.
But I bet we're still number one in everything else. Maybe I should look into that.
Yeah, look into the economic
index. Yeah, economic freedom. Look into any measure you want. And there was a time when the United States was highly respectable. But it ain't been lately.
I just saw that they won something in the Olympics. So there you go.
The Olympics.
USA.
USA.
The most important thing, freaking sports. Yeah. I actually kind of forgot to circle back around. I did like Tom's point, Tom from New Hampshire, the guy talking about housing regulations. I do like what he's pointing out about how the average person, they seriously cannot follow the cause and effect chains. And I've been saying it for a while.
Yeah.
It's like people just think, it actually circles back all the way to what we were talking at the beginning of the show. I want $20 an hour, but I don't want to pay more for my cheeseburgers.
Mm-hmm.
There are causes and effects, and people just seem to think that we can magically make that not happen, especially with the economics.
I think it's because people are dumbed down on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Like, public schools don't teach you anything. Your parents have to work because they have to provide for their family, right? Mm-hmm. So then they stick you in public school where they just teach you to obey. That's their only purpose.
Yep.
And nobody knows how to think for themselves, so they have no critical thinking skills. And it's just easier to control people that way.
And I don't think there's ever any coming back for that. And as far as...
There is. Homeschool.
There is. Thank
you. With your own kids. Yeah.
Thank
with
you.
Your own kids.
But these are generational solutions to generational problems, in my mind. Like, we've been on this wrong path for decades, and it's not going to change back quickly.
No,
but we've got to start now.
Yeah.
What was I? Forget it. I had a thought. It was
sorry.
Quickly gone.
About homeschools?
You know, once you hit 17, you just sort of lose part of your mind.
Or did it a worm?
Yeah, maybe it was a worm.
It could have been a worm. Mm. Maybe I have a tapeworm in my brain.
There is this disgusting story that RFK had a worm go into his brain and eat part of it. And I'm just like so grossed out by that. I think that he talks really weird. I don't know if he has some kind of actual underlying illness.
He's a Kennedy. They all talk really weird, right?
Well, as it turns out, he did have some problems.
Yeah, if there's something like everyone knows he has cerebral palsy or something, I'm not trying to be mean, but he like talks really weird already.
Yeah, it's
like
disjointed sense, and he mm-hmm. acts like he has Parkinson's and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This came out in The Hill,
and
a lot of people are reporting on this, but the headline is RFK Jr. had a brain worm. How do you get one, and what are the symptoms?
I do want to know how you get one. I would like to hear, because
yeah.
I don't know how a worm would get in your brain, a tapeworm.
Yeah, and it says in this article that I pulled up that it's a pork tapeworm.
Yeah, so how do you get pork worms in your brain?
Well, you're eating pork and some of it flies into your brain. It seems simple.
You got your brain open to clean it out. You just spill a little in there.
Independent presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. once had a parasite that caused him brain fog and memory loss. It was revealed Wednesday. Kennedy, now 70, began noticing issues in 2010, complaining of short-term and longer-term memory loss. He was originally concerned he had a brain tumor, and when he got checked out, there was a dark spot visible on brain scans, the New York Times reported. According to a 2012 deposition reviewed by the Times, Kennedy was told by a doctor the spot on the scan, quote, was caused by a worm that got into my brain and ate a portion of it and then died, unquote.
Nope.
At least you were so toxic that it died?
It was the paint chips.
No. It was the lead poison.
Is
the worm.
Is he a boomer?
At least 70.
This continues. Oh. How common are parasites in the brain? What causes them? When a person consumes tapeworm eggs, that's when I sit down for a breakfast of sausage and tapeworm eggs. Scrambled, usually.
Ew.
I like mine over easy.
Usually by eating contaminated food or drinking tainted water. The larva can get into your organs and form cysts. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention explain.
I don't think they're really explaining this in the way that like Lori's asking, because things don't go into your brain or stomach and then get shipped to your brain.
We're getting there.
Okay.
Bear with me. The infection caused by the pork tapeworm, Tanium solium, is called cysticercosis. I'm mispronouncing that. You all know that. If the infection reaches your brain, it's called neurocysticercosis.
Okay, but that's not the infection that was in his brain.
Right.
It was an actual worm.
The egg itself. I assume that the blood-brain barrier is a very fine membrane that can filter out almost everything.
But you have dura. So I had brain surgery.
You would know these things.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I had brain surgery and they had to cut my head open, cut my skull and go in through the dura, which is a like a layer of membrane that covers your brain.
Like a sack.
Like a sack that holds your brain and all the liquid and stuff in there. So I don't understand how a tapeworm could cross that unless you like snorted it. You have to like snort it or like...
If they ate it, I guess it's... I don't know either.
If you had, like, pork juice on your hands, could you accidentally, like, rub your nose and...
I guess.
Or be itching your ear and accidentally touch your brain.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to be so careful with
I don't know.
Raw meat. Not that I actually think you could touch your brain, but just, like, getting it in your ear sounds plausible.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, the long and the short of it is... Parasitic infections can occur, and some of them, I assume, affect the nervous system. So there must be some mechanism that it can get across the blood-brain barrier and infect the brain.
But it didn't say that it was the egg. It said that it was the dead worm in his brain, correct?
Well, yeah, if the egg got in his brain, then it hatched.
Something good, enough got into his or into his head, or maybe... Once somewhere in the head, it began to form and it crawled into his brain. It
Maybe.
Crawled through.
That makes more sense.
Yeah, okay.
If it was somewhere in his head
it
and then
like,
ate through the dura
through
to get in his brain.
On
well, wouldn't that just
brains.
Like let out all the water?
No, because you can have a cerebral spinal fluid is what is in your body. You can have a leak and like live. It can leak out of you like... out of your ear, out of your nose.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And it can close back up.
There was this person in San Antonio at a hospital that I've been to that it was like 2021 maybe because I lived here. They got a COVID test and they have to stick that up in your nose. They ruptured something and spinal fluid, like you're saying, came out of her nose. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that was like a big deal. I heard about it on the news here.
Because I had surgery, like anytime I get like a sinus infection and have like some post-nasal drip, I'm like, oh my God, is it CSF? So you can do like a little test though. And if you drop it onto a paper towel, if it's spinal fluid, it will form a halo around it from the proteins in your spinal fluid. And if it's nasal drip, it will not.
And if a worm crawls out of it,
then you are a Kennedy now.
You're now a Kennedy. That's great. Ask not.
That's so gross. This also says that Kennedy has previously spread health information, including... I thought it said that... Okay, sorry. Before I read this, I thought it said that he previously had mercury poisoning.
I think everyone who's covering this story feels compelled to say, and he's an anti-vaxxer, so...
Yeah, okay, that's what I was talking about here.
What does that have to do with anything? Are they giving tapeworm vaccines?
Yeah, you would think.
They're trying to say that he's an anti-vaxxer because his brain is broken. Like, here they literally say that. They say, Kennedy consulted neurologists about memory loss in 2010 and said a doctor told him a dark spot in a scan of his brain could be caused by a worm that ate a portion of his brain, according to a deposition reviewed by the New York Times. He also attributed mercury poisoning to a fish-heavy diet. And then it goes on to say that he talks about mercury poisoning from vaccines. So wait, that's so weird. They're trying to say, like, this guy had a worm in his brain. That's why he's an anti-vaxxer. I think so.
And the mercury didn't kill it.
Sorry if we didn't get to your calls right at the end. It's Free Talk Live. You can go to freetalklive.com. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. Peace.
If you want to move to the free state and you're looking for some real estate, well, I know a guy who's really great. It's the Realtor Mark Warden.
Now you can learn more about the awesome things happening here in New Hampshire in our march toward liberty in our lifetime. Our friends at Porcupine Real Estate are hosting a series of webinars to educate you on the expanded freedoms enjoyed by New Hampshire citizens. Reserve your seat today at move.freetalklive.com. Topics include gun freedom, medical freedom, and political freedom victories. They also have a couple on best practices for moving to the free state and finding housing. These webinars are super helpful and free to attend once you've registered at move.freetalklive.com. Visit their YouTube channel, Porcupine Real Estate, for videos from past presentations and sign up for upcoming webinars for free at move.freetalklive.com.
PorcupineRealEstate.com.